The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Monday. It is June 8th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, officials in Bucks County say 11 new COVID-19 cases have been traced to recent beach house gatherings at the Jersey Shore. Of the 33 new cases reported Saturday, 11 have been traced to contact with a New Jersey resident who attended multiple house gatherings at the shore during the past 2 weeks, officials said. One Bucks County case reported Saturday has also been traced to that individual, said Dr. David Damsker, the director of the Bucks County Health Department. This is exactly why we can't let our guard down, even if it feels safe to be at the beach, said Dr. Damsker. One unlucky exposure can lead to a large cascade of cases down the line. We want everybody to enjoy the warmer weather and have fun, but let's keep in mind that COVID is still circulating in the community at baseline levels. It hasn't been revealed where in South Jersey the gatherings were held. Public health officials continue to warn residents to use caution, both visiting the Jersey Shore and those protesting, and as more restrictions are being eased around the area. Now, health officials are reminding you of these tips. Of course, it's things that everybody has been talking about for months now at this point, but the reminders are to monitor your symptoms like new onset fevers, cough, or shortness of breath for 14 days. You try to stay away from other people for 14 days. If you can't stay home, be sure to wear a mask properly and stay at least 6 feet from others. Get tested for COVID-19 7 days after having been in a crowd. Nearly 6 million people in Philadelphia and 9 other counties in hard-hit southeastern Pennsylvania became the last in the state on Friday to shed the tightest restrictions, including a stay-at-home order. Gatherings in the yellow phase are still limited to 25 people, and telework is to continue. The pandemic in Pennsylvania has affected more than 75,000 people. New Jersey will enter stage two of its restart and recovery plan on Monday, June 15th, which will see the return to outdoor dining and in-person retail shopping. The governor stresses customers and businesses should adhere to the Department of Health guidance, including social distancing and wearing masks. I went out over the weekend. I had to run a few errands, and I was surprised at I assumed, you know, because some of the restrictions were lifted here, that that just meant, okay, well, now the stores are going to open. But a lot of the stores nationwide, like the bigger stores, remained closed. They hadn't opened their doors. And I was surprised. I just thought every business, when they had the chance, would go right into, you know, back into business and to open. But a lot of them remained closed.
Yeah, well, there's incrementally, obviously, and things tend to vacillate. So, I noticed that as well, Kathy. Things you thought would be open weren't, and then some things I didn't expect to be open were.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. Starting today, SEPTA will require all riders to wear a face mask or covering to reduce the spread of COVID-19. SEPTA tweeted Friday, to help continue efforts to reduce the spread of the coronavirus beginning Monday, June 8th, everyone riding SEPTA will be required to wear a face mask or covering. They tweeted, flatten the curve. The transit agency has been strongly urging customers to wear face coverings while riding, but it was not a requirement. In April, SEPTA issued a policy requiring riders to wear masks, but reversed its decision after videos of two separate incidents were posted on social media. One video showed a man being pulled off a bus by several Philadelphia police officers after the bus driver called 911. A police report stated that the rider caused a disturbance on the bus stemming from a disagreement over wearing a mask. The second video circulated showed a SEPTA worker telling people on the bus to exit if they didn't have masks. The worker then directed one man who was wearing a bandana over his mouth to get off the bus. So they actually reversed their decision, but now they're back to requiring it on all SEPTA. Regular schedules are in effect on most SEPTA bus routes, trolleys, Norristown High Speed Line, Market Frankfurt, and the Broad Street Line. But you will have to wear a mask now if you are getting on. A ShopRite in Philadelphia's Parkside section has reopened after being ransacked and looted for hours last weekend. The store at 52nd and Parkside Avenue was damaged during protests last weekend following the death of George Floyd while he was in police custody. Over the course of 15 hours, it was picked clean by looters. With the help of 300 community members and employees, the store is back in business 1 week later. Our family is deeply committed to these communities and would not walk away and leave these neighborhoods without a supermarket to rely on, said Jeff Brown, president and CEO of Brown's Superstores. We know how the neighborhood depends on us for their livelihood, not only for food, but for jobs and other assistance. On Sunday, shoppers said there is hope for ongoing unity and ultimately for more locally owned businesses in the community. A prayer and community celebration will be held at the store today. In sports this morning,
Woo!
so yummy.
Now that the NBA has been approved to finish out its season in Orlando, that leaves the question of where the players, teams, and staff will stay. According to ESPN, NBA teams will be contained to three specific hotels within the Disney complex, with them leading candidates being Animal Kingdom Lodge, Jumbo House, and the Colorado Springs Resort. That kind of made me laugh that all of the NBA teams are going to be staying at these Disney resorts where, like, normally you see kids running around and playing in the pools.
How big are those beds there, by the way? Routinely large enough to accommodate seven-footers?
It was also reported that all players will be tested for COVID-19 every night in the contained campus environment. This should help keep everyone safe, including players and staff at the resorts. As an added safety measure, the players and their families will not be allowed entrance into the theme parks. Conor McGregor is retiring. Moments after the conclusion of UFC 250 early Sunday, McGregor tweeted that he was walking away from MMA. McGregor told ESPN that he has lost his excitement for the sport, saying the game just doesn't excite me, and that's that. Huh. All this waiting around, there's nothing happening. I'm going through opponent options, and there's nothing really there at the minute. There's nothing that's exciting me.
He's joining the cast of The View, Kathy.
Or maybe he's just, posturing for more money. Either way,
I think your guess is probably more correct.
By the way, guys, I don't know. I saw some of the most vicious knockouts over the weekend in the UFC fights on Saturday night. Amazing stuff.
And Michaela Mayer is no longer fighting in the co-feature of tomorrow night's top-ranked boxing card in Las Vegas after testing positive for the coronavirus. Mayer announced the results of her tests on Instagram. She was scheduled to be the co-feature bout against Helen Joseph. In her post, she wrote, "It came as a complete surprise. I am currently asymptomatic and am quarantining at an off-site location per recommended guidelines. The rest of my team tested negative, and they are all in good health." And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks a bunch, Kathy. We welcome you back from the weekend. We are resetting, as we always do on a Monday morning, for many things, including a new Word of the Week prize. We have a $250 Meineke gift card for the location in the Mayfair section of Northeast Philly. So we'll get the letter of the day at the end of the program, and that'll make a word by the end of the week. Oh, and we welcome back Nick McElwain.
Yeah.
To the studios here in Bala Cynwyd. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Is this working?
It's working.
How about that? Yeah, I forgot my headphones. I left those at home.
Seriously?
So I'm borrowing the guest headphones for this morning. But yeah, it's really nice to see you guys.
So we have Nick back this week. We're scheduled to have Kathy back in the studio next week, and the whole family will be returning. And we're
I go work from home.
Then we leave for a while.
Just keep rotating.
Nah, we've got some safety restrictions set in place here in the building, and slowly the staff is making its way back into the hallways, and we're all just following the rules and making sure everybody stays safe.
I got to tell you, I was fully expecting everybody to be broadcasting from home at some point, and me be the only one in the studio. That's really truly
look at that.
Leave
you here.
They need somebody to stay in the studio. It would either been like me or like maybe Sarah or something like that. Right. But just the way that the chips were falling, I was like.
Well, that was the original plan.
Yeah.
They actually made a full plan. Joe Bell, our head muckety muck here, said, "Who here is expendable?" And that was the deal. We never had to call in that Omega plan.
Yep. So we are slowly bringing things back into, the normal order. So Nick is back, which is cool. And you know what, Nick? You take this moment to promote the event you have coming up, the Big Climb.
Yeah. So they're doing Big Virtual Climb this Saturday. I've done a lot of work with the LLS, which is Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, over the last few years. We used to do this big climb in the FMC Tower downtown. That's not happening this year for obvious reasons, but there's a virtual climb that's happening nationwide. And so all the information is up on PrestonandSteve.com. There is still Team Luke. My nephew Luke has leukemia. He's doing well, and we're hoping that he'll be in remission by the end of this year. But LLS is just this incredible organization, and they collect a lot of money, and so much of it goes right to research. So if you're interested in joining our team, we are still accepting team members for Team Luke, and then information's up on PrestonandSteve.com. We'd love to have you be a part of the team on Saturday. You can do a virtual climb in your steps at home. Mm-hmm. You can sit on your couch and not do anything at all. It's really easy this year, so we'd love to have you be a part of it.
Do you know what's cool about this? It provides the chronically lazy the ability to donate and pretend that they did the big climb.
Exactly.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, you can really pretend if you want.
Yeah, because really the money is the donations.
Yes. Help.
That's what you really
want.
Will
you get a T-shirt out of it?
You can get a shirt. There's all sorts of different.
Fully pretend like you did it.
You could eat a pound cake and still get your T-shirt for completing the big climb.
Are you virtually climbing?
Yes,
I am.
I'm climbing the social ladder.
Yeah. That's going to kind of be the way things are going because the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, I'm doing a virtual event this year. Normally we do the big thing at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, so I'll get details coming up on that. I think it's going to be on the 20th, so we're getting ready for that.
You guys are really adapting because we're doing the Max Fund event. We're doing a sex in, and that's probably wrong.
Sex in.
So that's interesting. Probably, we should probably alter that.
All right, so guest-wise, you know, we mentioned the NBA. Mark Zumoff is going to be joining us today, and we'll see what he knows and can bring us up to speed on and what he thinks is going to happen. So we'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour talk with the great Zoo. Now, on Friday, we chose the school, Great Valley High School in Malvern, as our coolest teacher of the year. The people that get to make a decision on their school. And we have a winner, and I am happy to announce that the students voted, and they have said the coolest teacher of the past year at Great Valley High School has been Miss Jessica Stanhagen. So Miss Stanhagen is an art teacher at Great Valley. And what's really cool is she this year received her Master of Fine Arts degree from the University of the Arts.
That's a double arts.
That's pretty damn awesome. She had gotten her bachelor's degree in art education from Indiana University. Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with that.
IUP. Yeah, it's okay.
That's how big that school is, Preston.
Wow. And a master's in education from Westchester. And now she got her Master of Fine Arts. You just can't stop her. You've been teaching in Great Valley since 2012.
Leave some knowledge for us.
So maybe we'll have a chance to talk to her at some point during the show today. So Jessica Stanhagen, congratulations from the students at Great Valley High School. That means we have to pick another one. And by the way, this is our final week of doing this. So we only have five schools left, and then we are finished. So
give us a good one, Preston.
I'm drawing a name, and I have done it. We're headed back to Jersey. Glassboro High School. Oddly enough, in Glassboro, New Jersey.
Well, that's weird.
All right, so you now have the opportunity to let us know who is going to get the President and Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug. It's a little gift, but it means a lot coming from you. So that's what we want. And here's how you do it, Glassboro High School. You just text the word teacher to 3933. That is it. Text the word teacher to 3933. And then we are going to, I'm sorry, 39333. 333? And then we're going to send you a text, and that has the link, and then you can let us know who the teacher has been. So 39333, text word teacher. That's all you got to do. All right, with that, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second, and some entertainment stories, a stupid question, and we will just keep moving forward on a beautiful start to your Monday morning. We'll be right back.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Going to do a stupid question, and we are going to give away today a digital download of the pulse-pounding thriller, Becky, starring Lulu Wilson, yes?
Yeah, I watched that.
And Kevin James.
Yeah, I watched that on, on Saturday night. I enjoyed it.
And Kevin James is playing a badass, right? Yeah,
yeah, he's like a neo-Nazi guy, and, you know, I've never seen Kevin James in a role like that, and he's totally believable.
All right, so we are going to give that away for a correct answer. This went to a couple events where I heard the name Malcolm X used this weekend, so I thought that that would be a good question. Here is, it's a simple one, what was his birth name? Malcolm X, 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. 215-263-WMMR. We have birthdays today on Monday, June 8th, while we await your answer, and we will begin with Juliana Margulies, formerly of ER. She was on The Sopranos, too.
And The Good Wife, right?
Yes, correct.
So she was a politician or somebody who was cheated on by... I remember I watched the first few episodes. I thought it was really good. And because I thought it was really good, I'd never watched it again.
Okay.
And recently, she showed up in Billions. She has a story arc there.
Oh, does
she?
Yeah.
The last thing I saw her in was the movie with Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston. And I can't remember the name of it.
The Good Side.
The Good Side, yeah. Not a very good movie.
No. She did get an Oscar nomination for Ghost Ship, though, Preston.
Oh, yes. Did she?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't The Good Side.
The Upside.
It was The Upside.
The Upside.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the one.
What's Upside?
Which is too bad because I went to see part of that movie filmed in Delaware County.
Yeah.
With Kevin Hart and Nicole Kidman. I was really hoping it was going to be good. But Julianna Margulies looked great in it. She's 54 today. Keenan Ivory Wayans, who has been here in our studio. I think he was here on his 60th birthday.
He absolutely was. Yeah. We got him a birthday cake. He was here with, was he with Sean?
He was here, I believe, with Sean, and it was a surprise. We didn't know he was going to be showing up until, like, later on.
That was pretty cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk about one of the guys who is responsible for my angle, my take on comedy, he's amazing.
And he celebrates his 62nd birthday, so 2 years ago today, he was sitting just over to my left here. So happy birthday to Keenan Ivory Wayans. Scott Adams, who created the Dilbert character. Which you would see, in the newspaper.
Are you a Dilbert fan?
It's okay.
It just wasn't up to Dondi level.
Yeah, Dondi?
Remember Dondi?
No.
It was the most boring. It was a little kid. It was the most boring comic strip.
Oh, my God.
And I'd be like, sometimes they would refresh some of the comic strips, and the ones that you wanted them to refresh weren't there, and Dondi was always there.
Well, Scott Adams, guy who created Dilbert, is 63 today. Nancy Sinatra, Frank's daughter, is 80 today.
Yeah. These boots are made for walking.
Yeah. Was that the only hit she had?
No, she had a couple
Did
others.
She?
Yeah. Okay. She actually is featured fairly prominently in this movie. Again, it's a documentary, if you've never seen it, called The Wrecking Crew.
Yep.
And she talks about these L.A. musicians that are legendary.
So she turns 80 today, by the way.
She did a nude.
Yeah, I loved it. Playboy.
Playboy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We also have Kanye West. Kanye is 43 years old today. They normally do big blowout birthday parties for everybody in that crew, the Kardashians.
No doubt.
The Jenners and everything. I doubt they're doing that this year.
Probably a Chuck E. Cheese.
A huge drive-by, a car drive-by.
Oh, they did one of those. Okay.
For Kanye, with the balloons. Yeah. Oh, this is wonderful. Though last week you did report that he had set up college funds for
George Floyd's kids. Yeah. Kids, yep. So, or his daughter, yeah. Kanye is 40.
Scoopity scoop. Scoopity dee whoop.
That's when he's getting the ice cream for everybody at the birthday party.
Scoopity scoopity whoop.
He has an ice cream truck business, and this is what.
You know what, though? It's a sort of a Russian roulette with ice cream, because when he says poopity, he will scoop out poop. But if he says just scoopity, you're getting ice cream.
That would be a great name for an ice cream place.
Scoopity.
No, scoopity scoop.
Oh.
Not poopity scoop.
Scoopity scoop.
Poopity scoop.
But it does start with
scoopity whoop.
Or scoopity whoop.
Scoop.
This is actually, you talk about songs with veiled meaning. That song's about World War One.
Oh.
Yeah.
Scoopity.
And trench warfare.
Whoopity scoop whoop poop. Poopity whoop scoop. Poop.
Wow.
Did anybody ever figure out what that was or supposed to be?
I don't think he quasi-addressed it. I think he said it was just sort of expelling the emotion of the time.
Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-dee-scoop.
Now he makes
whoop-dee-dee-scoop-poop.
He says three salient points there.
Yeah. Whoop-diddy-scoop-poop.
Scoopity-whoop. Yeah, exactly.
Whoop-diddy-scoop-poop.
And then he counters his own argument.
Yeah.
Whoopity-scoop.
All right. Happy birthday, Kanye. In the world of music as well, Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart, is 69. Now, here's a little detail I didn't know. She's Welsh. I never knew that.
What the hell?
Yeah. What's that all
about? I've been living a lie.
What the f-
Say it again, Preston. She's Welsh.
What the f-
God damn it!
I was just
Bonnie Tyler's Welsh.
I was incensed when I found out she's Welsh.
Welsh.
So happy 69th birthday.
What the is it? Yeah.
And she had a holding out for a hero. I didn't know that was her.
Yeah, wow. She did it for Primo.
I thought she did it for Short Circuit. Isn't it in that? Yeah.
Well, it's also in Footloose.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Okay. Yeah, all right.
69 today. All right, so I have a story about the next birthday. Nick Rhodes, keyboardist from Duran Duran.
Yes.
I had a chance to meet those guys. You remember when the song Ordinary World came out?
Love that song.
Outstanding mm-hmm. song, great album. Really awesome concert. One of those concerts where I'm like, yeah, I'll go check it out. And I was like, wow.
Likewise.
This is great.
Yeah, yeah.
So we met the band, and Nick Rhodes is kind of like this, hello, how are you, you know, this,
and I'm wearing eyeliner.
I reached out to shake his hand thinking I was going to get the dead fish.
Yeah.
Dude had a firm handshake.
Oh, no kidding.
Very surprising.
Whatever wow. he hits, he kills.
And he was incredibly nice, too.
Aww.
I always found him, yeah, I always thought in that band he was just kind of this, you know, just, I don't know.
Waifish sort of.
Yeah, and just a, like very little personality and everything. He was a really nice guy, so I love that.
He's a power lifter.
Wow.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
I'm now going to do 700 pounds. Oh, kilos.
But he had a surprising firm handshake. So Nick Rhodes is 58 today. And the last birthday from the Allman Brothers Band, Derek Trucks, one of the greats, is celebrating his, it says 41st birthday.
No, there's no way.
Yeah.
No. Really?
No. He's young.
He's that young?
Yeah, he's that young. Well, now he's at the Derek Trucks Band with his wife, Susan Tedeschi. Actually, it's the Tedeschi Trucks Band.
So what does he play, Preston?
No, he's a guitarist. I need to know my Allman Brothers history because maybe he joined the band late.
He did. He, okay. He was like a guitar virtuoso.
All right.
Came onto the scene at a really young age. So then he created this Derek Trucks Band. Susan Tedeschi would guest sing on that band, and then they just created the Tedeschi Trucks Band. And
okay.
Yeah, you'd have to be good to play the some of the Allman Brothers stuff.
Trey and him, they did a, it had to have been in August, where they were co-headlining an event, and the first night, Trey guest guitared for their band, and then the following night, they guest, you know, for his band, and it was really, really awesome.
Nice. Happy birthday to everybody celebrating one today. Let's see if we can answer the stupid question. What was the birth name of Malcolm X? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Brandon. Good morning, Brandon.
Whoopity scoop.
Yes. And a scoopity poop to you. So what was Malcolm X's birth name?
Malcolm Little.
Hang on a second, Brandon. We'll get your information, and we are going to give you a digital download of the Pulse Pounding thriller, Becky, starring Lulu Wilson, Kevin James, and Joel McHale. And when a rebellious teen goes on a weekend getaway with her father, a group of convicts wreak havoc on their lives, forcing an epic fight for survival. You can stream it instantly on Redbox On Demand today, and that is rated R. Let's see. We got a bunch of different stories from the weekend. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon brought two of their children with them to a memorial honoring slain Kentucky EMT Breonna Taylor on what would have been her 27th birthday. Damon's wife, Luciana Barroso, also joined them. Taylor was killed in her home on March 13th when plainclothes officers entered in on a no-knock warrant and shot her 8 times. She is one of the many murdered black people who protesters are demanding justice for. So they went out and had showed their support. Meanwhile, Affleck's girlfriend, Ana de Armas, has apparently decided to troll the paparazzi with a cardboard cutout of herself in front of Ben's home. His children, with Jennifer Garner, by the way, Violet Serafina and Samuel, reportedly are the ones who put it outside the house.
Oh, okay.
And she was spotted for the first time with Affleck and his
kids. Did they fall for it?
Back on May 23rd. I think they were kind of, you
okay,
know,
tongue
doing
in cheek.
A jokey yeah. statement. The pair have also been aggressively pursued by paparazzi as they go about errands and walk their dogs. So observers opine that the cutout is their way of making light of an irritating situation.
Yeah, and that has skipped up in a time where all of the things that are entertainment-based are on hold.
Right.
The paparazzi and the gossip rags are reporting stories like Ben Affleck seen leaving a froyo.
Right.
You know, and that's a headline story.
Right.
Maybe they should not do that anymore, you know? Just spend your time elsewhere.
Well, now here's a story of a celebrity son who was arrested this weekend. Bill Murray's son was arrested for assault and battery against a police officer, according to reports. The 27-year-old Caleb Murray was cuffed after taking part in a largely peaceful protest in Martha's Vineyard. And Caleb was first charged with disorderly conduct and destruction of property for allegedly throwing a rock through a car window after the owner had punched a protester. reports claim. So I don't know anything outside of that. And
this happened on Sunday?
I don't know if Bill has said anything. I don't know what day this was on, Steve, whenever it was happening in Martha's Vineyard. But I don't know if Bill has commented on it as of yet.
He doesn't comment on much.
Kate Blanchett sustained a cut to her head from a chainsaw accident at her home in East Sussex. She's okay, though. The Oscar winner actor was asked how lockdown was going by former Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard on her podcast last week. Blanchett said, "I'm fine. I had a bit of a chainsaw accident yesterday," which sounds very, very exciting, but it wasn't.
If you saw the injury, it's directly down the middle of her skull to the top of her nose.
Whoa!
I mean, it's a deep gash.
No, she said, apart from the little nick to the head,
fine. Look at her being courageous. She split her skull in half.
Gillard replied, "Be careful with that chainsaw. You've got a very famous head, and I don't think people would like to see any nicks taken out of it."
For what was she using the chainsaw?
She didn't say.
Okay.
Blanchett lives with her playwright husband, Andrew Upton, and their four children in a manor house.
She was making banana bread.
And had taken...
It didn't come out quite right.
And had taken much of the year off to help her eldest son through his A-levels. She said, "And then all of this exam stuff evaporated because of school closures, and I'm left with an 18-year-old who doesn't really want to have anything to do with me. So it's a little bit discombobulating, but it's a high-class problem. We're all well," she said.
So all of you with kids who are doing the, doing the Zoom stuff from home, when you get to that part of the teaching that involves chainsaws, is that difficult?
Because I'm afraid of chainsaws myself. I've never actually handled one.
You need to do the practical lab.
She also said she's instead homeschooling her 5-year-old daughter, which she said is challenging. "I have a huge respect for the teaching profession. I always have." Her next project will be Nightmare Alley, a thriller co-starring Bradley Cooper, Willem Dafoe, Toni Collette, and Rooney Mara, based on the book by William Lindsay Gresham. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling is facing backlash over a series of tweets Saturday about transgender people. She was criticizing an opinion piece on the website for DevEx, a media platform for the global development community that referred to people who menstruate. And she tweeted, "I'm sure there used to be a word for those people. Someone help me out. Wumbin, wimpened, woman." She was like using made-up words, like Harry Potter type words. Then in another tweet, she spoke about biological sex, saying, "If sex isn't real, there's no same-sex attraction. If sex isn't real, the lived reality of women globally is erased. I know and love trans people, but erasing the concept of sex removes the ability of many to meaningfully discuss their lives. It isn't hate to speak the truth." The LGBTQ advocacy group GLAAD criticized Rowling's tweets as inaccurate and cruel. The group said J.K. Rowling continues to align herself with an ideology which willfully distorts facts about gender identity and people who are trans.
Is it wise to take on someone who knows all those spells?
I don't know. But she walked back some of her comments, and I'm sure she's got more to say about that eventually. The CW's Riverdale is vowing to make changes amid a worldwide call for justice and equality. Riverdale is one of the many shows that's come under fire for its treatment and portrayal of black characters. Vanessa Morgan criticized Riverdale on social media, writing, "Tired of how black people are portrayed in media, tired of us being portrayed as thugs, dangerous, or angry, scary people, tired of us also being used as sidekick, non-dimensional characters to our white leads, or only used in the ads for diversity, but not actually in the show. It starts with the media." Robert Aguirre Sacasa, the show's creator and executive producer, wrote on social media, "We hear Vanessa. We love Vanessa. She's right. We're sorry. And we make the same promise to her, to you, that we did to her. We'll do better to honor her and the character she plays, as well as all of our actors and characters of color. Change is happening and will continue to happen. Riverdale will get bigger, not smaller. Riverdale will be a part of the movement, not outside of it." And Morgan was also quick to say that she did not blame her fellow castmates, and several, including Lily Reinhardt and Asha Bromfield, had voiced their support for her. Ken Jennings' nostalgic flashback show wasn't enough to tide Jeopardy fans over during lockdown. After scrapping its programming for the foreseeable future over the outbreak, the new Jeopardy episodes, fresh content, is going to be running June 12th, and will feature the popular Teachers Tournament, followed by regular episodes showcasing returning champions.
So I've been watching Ken Jennings on the show called Masterminds.
Yes.
And he came on to promote that show. It's actually, once you get your handle, your mind around how they handled the progression, it's actually a good show. And he is... He's from another planet.
Yeah, he is.
The level that he competes at, and sometimes he's not on the show, so you have three masterminds who compete against the other contestants. And on particular days, he's not there. Both my wife and I, it's not going to be a Ken episode because he's that dominant.
The rest of Jeopardy's summer schedule has yet to be announced. It's been a bumpy road for the series, which, of course, stopped taping shows last month over social distancing concerns after banning the live audience. Didn't pan out. Meanwhile, Alex Trebek, of course, has been battling stage 4 pancreatic cancer. The nearly 80-year-old entertainer hasn't announced who will replace him as a host when he does depart the show for good. However, fans speculate that Jennings could be his possible replacement.
Well, that
possible successor. That's not a bad idea.
He has the ability. He could do that.
If he can hone his hosting skills a little bit longer... You know, it's possible that he could they could hand him that.
You need to have that level of respect for the person who is the quiz master or the answer giver or whatever you want to refer to Alex Trebek. And you certainly know Ken Jennings has the cred.
Yep.
So the way that they're taping and then airing the episodes is interesting because last week they wrapped up one of the teachers' tournaments, which had been taped. I don't know when because Alex was shaking their hands, but they've aired episodes.
Before. It was before.
Because they've aired episodes where Alex doesn't shake hands and there's social distancing happening, and then they stop taping.
And on
altogether.
Friday, he dry humped the contestant, which I thought, wow, this had to be. If you watched America's Funniest Home Videos last night, they had a new episode where. Alfonso Ribeiro came down the steps, and the audience was there was no audience.
Okay,
so the tables were there, and he pretended he was high fiving, and he did his deal and explained that they're starting to come back and do all that. But it is weird to see that.
Yeah. After 13 years of marriage, actress Jordana Brewster and Andrew Form decided to separate without causing any waves. The split is said to be amicable, with the couple filing for separation sometime earlier this year.
The Bell family,
a source. A source claims, maybe the source was Vin Diesel.
Probably. He's a gossiper.
He said they have the utmost respect for each other.
Tell me more.
And they want to continue as family, right? And as any couple in their position should, Brewster and Form seem to be putting their children, their family first. The source confirmed the sentiment to the publication.
I turned on the TV the other day and Fast, I think 5 was on. I don't know. Here's the deal. I don't know anything about these movies.
Right.
And I came in.
I sadly do.
Okay.
They're actually good.
I came in, I don't even know, maybe a half hour, 45 minutes into the movie, and I was able to pick up like I had been, you know, part of this franchise since the very beginning.
Therein lies the enjoyment of them. So they're virtually science fiction, and you know there's stuff that goes on that's just but if you can turn yourself over to that.
Yeah.
And it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
I was resistant, but it eventually seduces you because they go so nuts that you're like, okay.
Well, Steve, you and I saw Hobbs and Shaw, and again, I watched that. I know nothing about either of their really their backstories. And they do a nice job in the very beginning, just sort of going,
you need to know it's about family.
Yeah, these guys don't like each other too much, neither.
Right. They don't like each other. Right? Exactly.
They don't like you much, neither. They have two sons together, Julian and Rowan, who are 6 and 4. They met while they were on the set for the film Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Beginning, which Brewster acted in and Form had produced. They appeared to be inseparable. Inseparable since filming ended in late 2005, vacationing in the Bahamas at a resort for Christmas, and then moving in together right after. Apparently, they moved in after being together for only a month or so.
Well, 13 years is a good in Hollywood. That makes them one of the seasoned couples of all time.
Yeah. 2 years later, after they dated, they got married on Nevis Island in a private ceremony. But now they're getting divorced.
She was in here when they were promoting the Dallas reboot. Yeah.
Let's see. Queen Elizabeth's corgis have their own footmen and menu.
That's got to be demeaning.
This is according to Darren McGrady.
Right away, Mr. Scruffy.
Who worked as a chef for Buckingham Palace. He said, I didn't expect to be cooking for the Queen's dogs when I started working at Buckingham Palace.
Does Mr. Scruffy want his anal gland expressed today?
I thought I was going
I want to die so badly.
He said.
I want to die now. But I'm a chicken at heart. I'm a hollow man who waits hand and foot on a dock.
He said, I thought I was going to be cooking for kings, queens, and presidents. I did eventually, but one of the first jobs I had was cooking for the corgis, the royal corgis.
I cooked a corgi and fed it to Her Majesty. I finally got my revenge. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to detonate this vest of dynamite.
He said he was making fresh food every day, and he said the corgis had their own menu.
Apparently, Mr. Scruffy did not like his food.
Yeah.
I'll take it back.
This was sad news to see, and it's more from the sports realm, but Steve, you'll certainly remember Kurt Thomas.
Yes.
First U.S. male gymnast to win a world championship gold medal. Died over the weekend. He was 64 years old. I mean, you're talking about a person who has been in absolute prime physical
peak
condition.
Shape. Yeah, I remember
their entire life. He was amazing.
Yeah, and you know, on would you call him like a Mark Spitz level or
he didn't dominate the sport, but for the U.S., he was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
He and Bart Connor at the time were
teammates. Yeah, they're huge. Yeah,
and Bart Connor went on to become more of a sportscaster and had success, and Kurt Thomas did a little bit, but Kurt was the guy who was, like, the lead of the team.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a stroke in May, and it was caused by a tear of the basilar artery in the brainstem.
Well,
and
there
he
you
died
go.
From that. Yeah.
Do not exercise.
Don't wait a minute. I don't think that's the message.
That's the
here.
Takeaway here.
That's
do
what
not
I took away.
Try to get into shape. It will kill you.
After competing in the 1976 Montreal Olympics, he won the floor exercise in the 1978 World Championships in France for the first U.S. men's title in the 79 Worlds in Fort Worth. He defended the floor exercise title and won the horizontal bar while adding silver in the all-around pommel horse and parallel bars. Thomas, who also captured the American Cup three times, lost a chance for Olympic gold when the United States boycotted the 1980 Moscow Games. He said, in my mind and my heart, I knew I was the best at that time. He starred at Indiana State, led to an NCAA team title in 77. His popularity on campus at the time ranked second only to future Basketball Hall of Famer Larry Bird. Bart Connor said Kurt was a fierce rival who went on to become a cherished friend. He was a two-time Olympic gold medalist, by the way, Bart Connor. He said, proud to have been your teammate, sending hugs to his wife, Becky, his children, Hunter, Cassidy, and Kurt, as well as the entire gymnastics community, lost a true pioneer.
I always wanted, as a kid, I think the thing you would always look for is I always wanted a gymnast's physique. I ended up with
God.
The gorilla's physique.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so... by the way, he was an innovator on the pommel horse. He had a dismount called the Thomas Salto, and it was considered so dangerous, it eventually was banned from competition.
Wow.
And that was his. He had
It involved nitroglycerin, correct?
I don't know about that, but Steve, he actually starred in the 1985 movie Gymkhana.
Gymkhana, if you don't remember this... say he was being chased by people,
mm-hmm.
he'd be start running or whatever, then he'd turn around and right above him would be a bar.
Yeah.
And he would start. So if it was out in an open field, he was screwed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If he had like a pummel horse that was actually a bunch of boxes in front of him, he could Gymkhana their asses.
By the poster, it looks like they had some serious problems with ninjas showing up.
Yeah. Ninjas, the blight of the modern gymnast are the rogue ninjas.
Yeah, they're in gyms around the country. You can't see them.
That's it.
Especially
only gymnasts, in They Live, they put on special glasses and they are able to see the it's a thing that we really are protected from by our gymnasts.
Right, right. Thank God for that. He was one of the best, and he was an innovator. So Kurt Thomas, he was...
watch Gymkhana this weekend if you can.
64 years old. Sad news. All right, and then we'll do one more story. Let's go. I don't want to do a downer. Well, you know what, but I should mention this. And, Steve, this is really in your wheelhouse. Danny Hicks, who played Jake in Evil Dead 2, revealed he's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and has approximately 1 to 3 years to live.
Jesus.
Made the announcement on his Facebook page on Friday morning. I know you really don't prefer Evil Dead 2, but to a lot of, you know,
I like it. I just think the first one is my favorite. But anything in the Evil Dead realm and the series is great. But that's sad news because Evil Dead 2 is essentially a more comic remake of Evil Dead 1.
Yeah. He wrote, to all people that I never got to meet and the 6,018 diehard fans that enjoy my work, I have some bad news. I've been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. I have approximately 1 to 3 years to live, but I got to tell you, I sure as hell packed a whole bunch of living into my 68 years.
Is it pancreatic, Preston?
It doesn't indicate in the story that I read, so I don't know. He said, I got no chance coming back, that's for sure, and not too many regrets. Okay, got to go. I'm going to find out just what in the hell is going on down in that fruit cellar, he wrote. And, of course, the fruit cellar is a reference to the gruesome cabin cellar where several bloody scenes take place and Sam Raimi's 1987 horror film. By the way, in his character in Ash versus the Evil Dead, Ash finds Jake's skeleton and has a flashback to his death. And it was his first major film role, but he did collaborate with Raimi on a couple of other things. He was in Darkman, Intruder, and in Spider-Man 2. I meant to go look and see who he was in Spider-Man 2. I'm sure it was a smaller role. But
Spider-Man 2 also has Hal Sparks in it.
Correct.
Hal Sparks in an elevator scene.
Yep. All right, we're ready for the clips now. In TNT's Snowpiercer, questions are raised about class warfare, social injustice, and the politics of survival. In this clip, star Jennifer Connelly best describes playing Melanie Cavill on the screen.
She's a surprising character. To me, I thought she was quite a challenging character at times, and she has an interesting journey. She's not the person that we think she is when we first meet her.
A new episode of Snowpiercer is on TNT Sunday at 9.
I've been watching it. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not great. I loved the movie, but maybe it'll pick up as it moves along.
All right, here's the next clip. Everybody loves Raymond creator Phil Rosenthal travels around the world sampling food and culture in Somebody Feed Phil. In this clip, Phil discusses... Hang on a second. You remember Jackass did Don't Feed Phil?
Don't Feed Phil, yeah.
Years ago. We helped promote that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody Feed Phil. In this clip, Phil discusses dealing with language barriers. Here we go.
Even if I'm going to Bangkok or to Saigon, most everybody speaks English. In Vietnam, I even taught a little class English. And they spoke better English, certainly, than I spoke Vietnamese. Yeah.
Somebody Feed Phil is streaming now, and that is on Netflix. And there you go. In a nutshell, that's what I got.
Well done, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Hey, we chose a new school to let us know who the coolest teacher is. It's Glassboro High School of Glassboro, New Jersey. It's easy to get on board and let us know who has made that that big impact on your life this past year. Text word teacher to 39333. We send you the voting link. And from the weekend, we got Miss Jessica Stanhagen from Great Valley High School. She's an art teacher, and maybe we'll hear from her today. So get on that. We're going to take a break. Coming back in just a moment or two. Make sure that you stay with us on this Monday morning.
Everything that rocks includes cool MMR swag you can wear. Available now in the MMR Rock Shop, like t-shirts, hoodies, and tank tops with designs from retro MMR logos to the latest from the Preston and Steve Show branded hats and tops for guys and gals. We've even got your little ones covered with an array of bibs, onesies, and toddler tees, plus coffee mugs and much more, all with the MMR attitude you expect. Search the word shop at WMMR.com and get shopping. Stuff for you, gifts for them. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your wardrobe.
Glassboro High School, Glassboro, New Jersey. It's up for you to let us know who the coolest teacher of the year has been. And you can text the word teacher to 39333. Did not know this. Nick just pulled up this fact about Glassboro High School, and it's only a few days away, on June 19th, 1986, it was kind of historical at Glassboro High School.
Can I guess?
Yeah, sure.
Is that where they dropped the first atomic bomb?
No, that was in Hiroshima, Japan.
World War II.
I was way off. Yeah.
But in 1986, President Ronald Reagan became the first sitting president to speak at a high school graduation. Oh, when he spoke at the Glassboro High School commencement ceremony.
That is wild.
How about that?
I'm just like you kids. Do you like the A-Team? My favorite character's face, he's a looker.
He's doing his best.
Mr. President, stop pandering to them.
To relate
to the kids, but that was at
Glassboro. I love the Trapper Keeper.
That was at Glassboro.
Holds all my papers in my folder.
Oh, God, I loved picking out Trapper Keepers.
Yeah, Kat, thanks for supporting me.
You got it. No problem.
86 is
I'm just like you. We're only separated by 7 decades.
86 is when I graduated. I wonder if anybody listening went to...
I would have preferred to do this in St. Louis, where Preston's currently going to high school, but, you know, you get what you get.
Parkway Central. You could have come
out there. Parkway Central.
In my social studies class, I portrayed President Reagan.
Oh, did you?
In a class assignment that we did. And, we all had roles, and I was chosen to be the president. So as a prop, and they loved this, my mom worked at a candy shop.
Yeah.
So we had Jelly Bellies. Okay.
Perfect.
So I bought a little, it was almost like a mini vending machine with Jelly Bellies in it. And I bought it and I set it on my desk as I played President Reagan. And I was sitting there and I was eating the candy while I was, now I didn't do the impression of him.
Right. Well, you had a visual prop. And
yeah.
Of course, throughout Reagan's presidency, the word was that he had a bowl of jelly beans.
You like jelly beans. Yeah.
Do you slick your hair back?
I didn't do any of that.
Okay,
no,
just the jelly beans?
The jelly beans is the only thing that I went with, but...
That's half-assing it.
That was half-assing it, but...
But I approve. So that's pretty cool. So, usually presidents don't go to high schools.
No, and I wonder why Glassboro...
It's great to be here today at KinderCare. Next year, you'll be entering first grade.
I wonder why Glassboro got that distinction, why they, you know, why he chose to go there. And
the principal had some pictures I'd rather not talk
about. Oh, dear God.
Things happened on the set of that movie with the chimp.
Oh, my God. He's blackmailing you?
Wow. Okay. Well,
what is it? Bozo Goes to College?
Yeah.
Was it Bozo?
I think it was. Yeah. Bozo Goes to College.
Bonzo.
Yeah.
Bonzo.
Yeah.
That was it. I never saw any of those Bonzo movies.
Reagan was actually a pretty good actor.
There was Bedtime for Bonzo. I know that one. That's the only title I remember. But Bonzo Goes to what?
College.
Goes to college. Yeah. That really happened.
Yeah, it did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. All right. This also really happened. I have a personal story to share.
Personal courage?
Not personal courage. No, but just interesting. So, and I've not spoken to my cousin directly. I got this from my mom, who I was talking to over the weekend, and my sister as well. So my cousin Jamie lives in Arizona and moved there from California. She had she was pregnant. And so she just had the baby a few weeks ago. Now, while in breastfeeding, she apparently is producing a lot of breast milk, like way too much. So my wife had the opposite problem. She had a hard time producing, and my wife is very well endowed.
Yeah.
I think it would be the other way around, but it's not always just because you got big boobs. You can
That you're a walking dairy.
Right. So, but she is producing a lot of milk, like way too much. So she had to pump this extra milk, and one of the hospital workers had told her, you know, actually you can sell your breast milk. And for people who want to make sure that they can't produce enough milk, but they don't want to use formula and they want to,
you have an excess.
Milk.
It's like when you, it's like solar panels, you have excess of power, you sell it back to the energy company, right? Yeah.
We actually talked about this before because the same thing happened to my cousin. And I told you guys that she didn't sell it, but she donated her breast milk.
Okay. So my cousin and her husband, you know, they need to make ends meet. They don't make a lot of money. So I don't, you know, the idea of them selling it, I think, is a great idea.
Well, if it performs a service for people who want it and need it, yes.
So she started to look into this, and here's where I don't have all the details, but I don't know where she had posted the information that she has breast milk to sell. And so she got a response. She got a hit, which is like, great, good. We can make some extra money. This would be nice, you know, with the baby and the new baby and everything, and it'll help out. So the response she got was from a guy who said, hey, you know, saw the ad and I'm very interested in
from a guy
in the breast milk.
I know.
And he goes on to say how he wants to essentially suckle her breasts.
Oh, no.
And feed on.
OK, does that cost more?
The breast milk. Well, I don't know. And so
are they thinking about it
now? Leading into this, she was told
full grown
teeth are in, it's going to be hard.
Leading up to this, she was told that, listen, you could either be selling this to potential, you know, new moms or fetish people because it's apparently something they go after. But what she didn't know is that the guy actually wants to actively feed on her breasts. No. So she wrote back, hey, I am I'm a happily married woman. Yeah. My husband and I have been together, blah, 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 and all the details.
Answer is yes.
And then the response back was, that's okay. He can be there, and
I'm totally
cool with that. And
I'm
a 26-year-old, clean, healthy, no criminal record and all this other stuff.
No. Yeah. Well, so I know that this is a thing in the fetish world. And then there's infantilizing, I guess, where people will do they'll wear diapers and they'll suckle on a volunteer for that purpose. Wow.
Yeah.
So when you're trying, hey, honey, I'm going to help out some mothers who are having difficulty. And the first email in the bin is from Brad.
That's the first hit.
I think I'm 6 months behind you guys, but during our week off, I watched The Boys on Amazon Prime.
Wow.
And
there's
that relationship between the one superhero and the head of the corporation.
Homeland.
I guess that's sexual in nature.
It is, and it's also a maternal thing. There's all different levels of that. So has she gotten any other? Do you know, Preston, if she's received any other responses in line with what her original intent was?
No, that's the only one that I know of.
So. Where did she post it?
I need to
knocked up in milky.com.
Kath, I don't remember. I didn't find out. I'm not sure.
Wow.
A text from somebody says it happened to them as well. Please call in if you can, because I'd like to hear how that went.
I'm so annoyed at not necessarily the initial ask. I'm annoyed at the second ask after she responded, thank you, but no thank you.
Right.
And then the second, I'm clean. No, dude, you just said no. Listen, I can appreciate that you have a kink, right? Everybody's got kinks, and you know yours is a little bit more offbeat than your average bear. But man, don't ask again. You're just coming off as desperate. There's other people out there that are, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. Listen, maybe he's had success in the follow-up email before and decided to go for it.
You know what? He's making a good case. I'd like to meet this young man.
Wow.
It's like the difference between the web and the dark web.
Yeah.
There's always an underbelly to things. And if this is your thing and you have consenting people, that's your deal. But I would, between what I'm sure was on her mind, you know.
She could have used the coronavirus as a deflection, too. Listen, we're social distancing right now.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that's just not in the cards.
My nipples aren't that long.
Right.
All right, listen, how much do you think you could get in, let's say, a 10-minute feeding?
Well, you got to go by other fluids. And when you sell blood, what is the going price for a blood donation?
I don't know.
I mean, because a lot of times they talk about selling blood. And
are you talking about how much money you can get for a 10-minute?
No, I'm talking about how many ounces can you actually drink in 10 minutes?
You mean, is it how much can I drink or how much could she produce?
Yeah, come on, man. You got to be specific.
I got to try and think exactly how I ask this question where I get the response that I want. How much milk comes out in 10 minutes of
there
suckling?
You go. That's okay. It takes a long time to pump.
A couple gallons?
Milk from what? No, not a couple gallons.
Yeah. And Nick,
that's why I call him Jug, Steve.
God.
I just thought that was a reference, a gallon jug.
By the way, Steve, I just called you Nick. Steve, to answer your question, the going rate back in the early 90s for a pint of blood was $20.
When I was shuckling boobs,
it
was a much different thing. What was the going price for
it
blood?
Was $20 and homemade cookies. So that's what I got. There was a family friend who I have A negative blood, and it's fairly rare. And this guy needed it, so they asked for me to go and donate the blood. So I did, and I did not want anything. I did not ask for money, but the lady punched me, said here, and gave me $20, and shoved it in my pocket, and then came with some homemade baked cookies.
Hang on, I was reading something. Someone punched you?
Yeah, slapped me, take the money. I'm like, I don't want any money. I was donating blood for a family friend.
Okay.
So I don't know where you lost me in the story.
Sorry. I started reading this at the community blood center's averages $310, but depending on the market, one unit can be worth a whole lot more. For example, the red blood cells can go for $229, platelets for $300, and plasma for $40, nearly $570 in all.
So damn. I remember that used to be the old thing. I'm going to go sell blood for money. And if you're talking about bodily fluids, if one were selling breast milk, what is the going rate for
that's,
that?
So, that's what I'm curious about.
And I made sure to do the research on this on the company computer and not my computer because I just didn't want to do that Google search. The asking price on only the breast, which I guess is a website, runs $1 to $2.50 an ounce. Oh. A six-month-old baby can consume 30 ounces of breast milk a day. But here's a woman who is 19, Steve. She's a college student, and she was pumping. She plans to continue selling for a year, and if she can pump a steady 30 ounces a day, she could take in about $20,000 in a year.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
All right, you can only produce...
Wasn't pump steady a band in the 80s? Pump steady.
You can only produce milk if you have... had a baby, right? Like, can anybody who's never been pregnant?
I think if you can continue to do it, like, my cousin continued to pump for, I mean, like, a good year after the baby was born. Like, the baby wasn't even breastfeeding anymore. She had stopped breastfeeding her child.
Yeah. But does it take being pregnant to kickstart that?
Yeah.
Because I think the same thing
Are we sure of that? Are we sure that you can't do things that... That cause the production of milk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's the same thing with cows too, Steve. I think cows don't just produce milk;
they moo.
They do moo, and
they chew their cud.
They do all that stuff.
Yeah, they do all kinds of things.
Okay. But I think either cows either have to be pregnant or have just had a calf in order to be able to produce milk.
It's saying right here, all but right. It is also possible for women who have never been pregnant and even men to lactate.
Yeah, lactation.
Can you milk me?
You guys can start selling your breast milk.
Why not?
Hormone signal. Okay, so for women who are pregnant or recently gave birth, lactation is normal. Hormones signal the mammary glands in your body to start producing milk to feed the baby. But it, as Steve said, it quotes here, it's also possible for women who've never been pregnant and even men to lactate. I would imagine that's a fairly small amount, but I guess it is possible. A
couple, maybe 2-3 billion.
So there's a website called Only the Breast, a community for moms, it says. And it says you can browse ads or sell milk. So there you go. There's some forums to
that,
to be
was that Kathy drinking Kathy, breast milk?
Kathy's drinking scotch.
We heard a big gulp there, Kath.
Oh. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I don't know.
We just looked around.
And where's that big sloshing sound coming from?
Steve, I also saw that a lot of bodybuilders will use naturally made breast milk.
Is that true? I'd heard that, but I didn't know if that was just an urban legend.
I don't know either, but some people were texting that in, and then I guess there's HGH in it. And they would rather use that and mix it in with their protein shakes.
Yeah. God.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, bodybuilders.
You remember when Chuck's wife brought her breast milk in, you guys all drank it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's disgusting. Not like we guzzled it, but I tasted it, and it was actually to me, it tasted like a very runny, watery milk.
Ugh.
Yeah,
I hated it.
I would not put it in coffee.
So what's the benefit of bodybuilders, Nick? High
I guess
protein
that they can
or
get, well, they can have HGH in it, and so instead of using it artificially formed, you know, in a lab or whatever, they'll get a natural version of it through breast milk.
HGH from breast milk,
apparently.
Okay,
but that's why you see a lot of lactating women at gyms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Provide the services.
A lot of ripped babies, yeah. Too.
Hey, speaking of suckling at the teat, if you will, there's a guy in our area that has the biggest mouth in the world.
Yeah. We need this in this time of unrest and everything that's going on. A world record has just been delivered out of the area.
There's a guy named Philip Angus. And he is the proud holder of the Guinness World Record title for the largest gape, with his fully stretched mouth measuring a whopping 9.52 centimeters or 3.75 inches. Now, he is in Boyertown.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. Yeah, Boyertown.
So there's a video of him. I don't have any real information here other than the video that I saw of him, Casey, taking like an apple, and he could essentially... like,
no
bite
kidding.
The whole thing.
All right, so almost 4 inches between the teeth?
I don't know if it's the teeth. I would imagine it's the teeth. And yeah, because it shows him holding stuff in his teeth. So
it's Philip Angus of Boyertown, Preston. He is the Does that seem, does 3.75 inches seem small?
Those numbers, like longest tongue and so forth, always seem like they're not that much. But when you actually take the ruler and hold it up to it, you realize that your tongue, your mouth, and things like that are
your genitals.
A lot smaller. A lot smaller than you think they are. So it doesn't seem like it's much, but when you see the guy open his mouth,
it's pretty wild.
We're looking at a picture.
Especially in comparison to his mother in the video, he opens up his mouth and his mom opens her mouth and it's just nowhere even close.
He's got like a pig with an apple in his mouth. There's a picture of him with that. So he has the largest one. Now, have you known people that can take their fist and shove it into their mouth?
Yeah, we had an intern that could do it. Yeah. No longer, not that she's passed away, but
she's no longer with us.
Yeah, she's no longer with us.
Marissa can do it, can't she?
I don't know about the whole fist. She ran out of the room screaming, so I don't see her.
She
right
doesn't
now,
wash her hands. She actually cleans them in her mouth.
Yeah.
But there are people who can do that. To me, if I open up my mouth too wide, it hurts. You know, I it's I don't like it at all.
There's a picture of me.
I'd be a bad fluffer.
There's a picture of me that I actually have it at home, and it was at the radio station I worked in St. Louis, and somebody was taking a picture in the studio, and I grabbed the mic, and jokingly, I opened up my mouth wide to make it look as if I was screaming into the microphone, and when I opened it as far as I could, and then it kind of locked up.
Uh-huh.
I got a cramp.
It hurts
under here in the bottom part. Oh my God! I had to take my hand and shove.
Uh-huh. You get it?
My jaw closed.
Did you partially dislocate?
No, it didn't do that. But the muscle in there cramped up. My God, did that hurt?
Oh,
it was really painful. And do you guys know anybody who's suffered from lockjaw before?
Yes, actually, and in fact, They had I don't know what the exact condition is, but it caused them to lose a dramatic amount of weight because they had to switch to a liquid diet. And there are a whole bunch of issues associated with jaw issues that are a lot more profound than you would normally think, you know. But yeah, man, it's no fun and it hurts like a mother.
Yeah, my a friend of mine's wife unfortunately suffered from lockjaw and the the mouth stuff had to.
We're laughing because it's a video of a dumb video. Yeah, that's bad.
It stopped.
It had to stop after a while. I think she got a handle on it, but yes, they had to rule that out of the bedroom.
Oh really?
Because she would get lockjaw.
What's your sister doing?
You might listen, hon. We need a little help.
Take one for the family.
But lockjaw can be a that can be a pernicious thing that you live with, right?
Burt Reynolds had it, you know, for years ago. And he dropped. People thought he had HIV at the time because he looked so emaciated, but he was having issues with taking in food, and they had to put him on a liquid diet, and he just became, you know, emaciated.
I just tried to measure my gape with my finger, and I got to tell you, it was
three knuckles.
No. But like, I used my finger as like sort of a measuring stick, like a ruler.
Yeah.
And it was it wasn't as big as I thought it was.
How long
be.
Is your finger?
8 inches.
8 inches. But I'll show you, Press. All right, so I have my mouth, and then I put my finger at the top of the, because I think it's tooth to tooth.
I think it's teeth, yes.
All right, Preston, use your penis as a measuring device.
All right, Casey, come here.
Open, open up your mouth. But this isn't anything sexual. It's just we know.
Would that make both of us gay or just you?
Do you have a ruler over there?
Just by curious.
Yeah. All right.
Honestly, come on.
Okay, I see where it is.
But you see what I'm saying? Like,
that's not much.
That's not much at all.
Nope. It looks like a lot when you're opening your mouth.
Yeah.
But when Casey has pulled back the measuring stick of his finger.
That's not even a Big Mac.
It's not a lot.
No.
That's not even a Big Mac.
You got to squeeze a Big Mac down.
You do.
Does it say a lot about the times that we're in that I'm incredibly proud of Philip Angus of Boyertown for that?
I'm proud of
him. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you bring up the Big Mac thing, which I remember. Do you remember when Paris Hilton did that Carl's Jr. commercial that was very, you know, she was all sexy.
Right.
Carl's Jr., which is not a chain locally. It's more out west.
She was on, the hood of a Bentley or something?
They would do very sexy commercials with women. And so she goes to take a bite of this burger, which is gigantic, by the way.
Yeah. Right.
And they show her from the other. And I was thinking the same thing. There's no way. And as we all know, Paris has a great mouth.
Absolutely.
We've seen it in action.
Check it out.
But she could not see that.
Yeah.
You're looking at that video. I'm like, stop it with that. The giant burger and being able to take a bite out of that.
By the way, I despise when you have a burger like that. You win more points with a burger if the contents are more able to be kept between the buns.
Yes.
Then I don't. The notion. I'm not excited by the notion of the food sliding out. It ruins it. Stop it.
We're watching this video, this commercial. Can you believe she did that?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, she got paid a lot of money.
Yeah, I know, but she already had a lot of money.
Yeah, but she's also incredibly narcissistic.
Well, that's
yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I wouldn't mind hearing from Philip Angus in Boyertown.
Superstar.
The Guinness World Record holder for the largest gape.
He has
a whole other thing in the porn world.
You're right.
Or in, yeah, and I'm sure he's heard it all. But he literally looks like a cartoon rendering of a human when he opens up his mouth.
And he actually has a natural echo in his voice. His mouth is that big.
Do you know what he looks like? Actually, Steve is from The Wall from the Pink Floyd.
Yes.
There's a part where the mouth is wide open. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, anyhow, if you know Philip, tell him to get in touch with us. That would be cool. Hey, one other quick thing that I do want to mention, and then I know we have our coolest teacher, but I'm gonna go to them in just a second or so. But Nick had told me about this, and this is very interesting because not that long ago in the Bizarre File, I had shared stories of a couple of guys who died looking for a treasure in the Rocky Mountains.
This is a story that we have been coming back to throughout, I guess, the past couple of years. I don't know when it was first set in place.
10 years.
10 years.
10 years ago.
So, it blew my mind. And when this morning we learned that, it's been found.
Well, this guy, Forrest Fenn, an 89-year-old art and antiquities collector, created a treasure hunt. And he announced on Sunday somebody finally found it.
He'd been asked to reveal the location, right? After a while. Because people were dying.
Yep, exactly. And it's rumored to be worth over $1 million. So it's a big cash cow for whoever stumbled across it. Now, we don't know who got it, though. He wrote this over the weekend. It was under a canopy of stars in the lush, forested vegetation of the Rocky Mountains and had not moved from the spot where I hid it more than 10 years ago. He said, I do not know the person who found it, but the poem in my book led him to the precise spot.
So there was a poem. These had clues in it, and people had traipsed out into this area, general area, operating on just that poem in search of it.
It was a 24-line poem that was published in Fenn's 2010 autobiography called The Thrill of the Chase. And he had estimated that as many as 350,000 people from all over the world went hunting for the treasure. Some quit their jobs to fully dedicate their lives to the hunt. Some even died, of course. And I'm wondering how many people may have, if they've seen this now, have been, because he hasn't revealed where it is yet. I don't know if he ever will, where he actually hit it. I think he should at some point. But people who came close to it but just missed it, you know.
Do you guys ever imagine? When you heard about the story, did you ever think about maybe going and doing?
Not for a second.
Yeah.
No, I did. No? I mean, I would never do it, but I'd be like, that would be a cool adventure. But yeah. I'm not clever enough when it comes to clue solving and stuff.
I actually thought about doing it this summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, why not? Like, and my reason, like, all these people were dying, Steve, right?
Yeah.
And I was sort of
thinking.
That
sounds like fun.
No. I was thinking.
I'm in.
I was thinking that maybe. Just maybe the
naughty girls need love too.
It wasn't as hard as people made it out to be. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
This guy, how old is he now? 89?
Yeah.
You know, if he's burying this thing or whatever 10 years ago, he's almost 80 years old. Like, I don't necessarily think he would even have to go that far. I didn't do a whole lot of research on this.
I'm sorry. I don't follow the logic.
The logic is I
it's at the end of his driveway.
Yeah,
he's 80. I'm sorry. I can't.
And he couldn't go too far?
Well, I'll take the crosstown bus.
People
outside of the Cracker Barrel.
I don't know how and why people were dying, but I don't necessarily think it was as treacherous as people were maybe.
It was treacherous enough to kill some people.
Well, they were going to the wrong place.
He's saying maybe they were being led by the poem to a more dangerous area than it actually would have been.
Like the bottom of an active volcano.
Right, yeah.
This is hot.
But he said it was under the under a canopy of stars in the lush, forested vegetation of the Rocky Mountains. It was found a few days ago by a man who did not want to be named.
Do we know how it was actually the physical cash or what? Or what was it that was discovered?
There were a couple of different stories I had about this. He had said,
it was Dunkin' gift cards.
No, it was in Dunkin' gift cards. The man who didn't want his name disclosed, he found the bronze chest a few days ago and confirmed it by sending him a photo. But I don't know. There were supposed to be gold, jewels, and other valuable items.
Okay. So
it was a treasure chest.
Right, because something like that would withstand the elements for 10 years.
Yeah.
You could put money in it, and perhaps if there was any sort of air leak, it would disintegrate.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know the condition of the contents or anything like that. I would like to read. I don't have the actual poem itself. I have part of it. It says, if golden gems are what you seek, we have a quest for you. Off well-worn trails and rocky mountains, a chest awaits one true, of heart and mind, both resolute in purpose and in goal, who knows no gold outshines the hues that sparkle in one soul.
E-I-E-I-O.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how much further it goes. It's a 24-line poem. But
the exact location is.
Yeah. But like reading Ready Player One, that leads with a poem like that. To kick off the whole thing, and you have to, you know, there's like one little detail or maybe two within all those words that lead you to the right place.
So you love the stuff like this. You love escape rooms and things that engage this part of the and we talk about video games where that involve puzzles.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll do the video game version, but, you know, to quit your job.
Yeah.
And travel from around the world on the off chance. I mean, you have to have the true spirit of a treasure hunter.
Listen, man, I went digging through a trash bag one time because I thought I had thrown away a winning McDonald's Monopoly game piece, and I didn't even like doing that. I can't imagine, you know, going, showing up to, you know, 1,000 acres yeah. and going, it's in here somewhere.
I know it's here.
What's harder, doing that, like out in the Rocky Mountains, or the scuba divers like Pat Croce when you're going down for Spanish galleons and a shipwreck that went down 100 years ago, 200 years
ago? A little more
ago.
Dangerous yeah. doing that, too. So
yeah, they're,
I don't know.
But I love stuff like this. I love you. You'll do sort of, and when we get back to a little bit more of a viability for this, you would put little prizes and hidden things out in parks and send people clues. It's a fun thing to do.
It is fun.
Swiss Air Flight 111 went down off the coast of Nova Scotia 22 years ago, and on board there were diamonds, cash, a Picasso. They have never found them. So, Casey, if you want to go scuba diving.
I don't want to go scuba diving.
He doesn't like the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Monsters.
There are monsters.
Yeah, you saw the Kraken.
So, Fenn didn't reveal exactly where he had hidden the chest. After hiding it, he posted clues.
It's at the end of my driveway.
In his autobiography, and 100,000 people have searched for the treasure chest over a decade.
The authorities were actually, in the area, they were actually asking him to please go get it and stop this.
Four people died looking for it,
So. Somebody was looking for it that found it, right? It wasn't just some lucky guy.
No. Would you imagine?
Yeah.
Hey, look at this. Like like a couple's fighting, and then the guy throws his car keys, and he hears a clink. What?
So I think he owes it to the people that went searching and also the people who died and their families to
send them a ha-ha?
No. To show where he had hidden.
Oh, absolutely.
I think he should.
Come on.
I'll bet he doesn't. I will bet you this guy won't do it.
So. No.
No. Not doing it.
I don't want it.
No. All right. Anyhow, I thought that was interesting.
It is fascinating.
All right. You know what else is fascinating? The love for teachers, and especially from high school students who can't wait to get the hell out of there. But they are happy to share with us who they thought was the coolest teacher of the past year. And we are happy to award those teachers for their hard work and their connection to the kids. So we had chosen over the weekend Great Valley High School, and we got responses, and we tallied up the votes, and we are happy to welcome Miss Jessica Stanhagen this morning. Who's the coolest teacher? Jessica, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Wow. And how long have you been at Great Valley?
I've been in Great Valley for 7 years, but a teacher for 13 overall.
Okay. And we were reading about your post-grad education. You've gone on to get a few different degrees, right?
Yeah, well, I got my master's in education at Westchester University, and then I'm currently in a master's of fine arts program at University Arts. I'll graduate in May.
Nice, nice. Wow.
Are you going to keep getting more degrees after that, or are you done?
No, my husband told me I'm not allowed to.
Knock it off.
Now, you're an art teacher.
Yes.
And what is what's that like? I mean, listen, I go my kids go to Souderton high school, and I've been going there for years, and one of the things I love doing is when I walk through the hallways or seeing the artwork and going, my God, there are really talented people here. It's got to be pretty cool to see some kids come up and you go, okay, this kid's got it, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I tell parents on back to school night every year that I have the best job in the world, and they're probably like, oh yeah, lots of people say that, but it really is. I mean, we have great students at Great Valley, and they're just so talented, and they're polite, and they're kind, and it's just, I can't say enough good things about where I work and my job, and I get to do what I love, which is making art every day with my kids, so, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, you know?
I always loved art class, because I was actually pretty good at it. In fact, my major crush in school was Miss Cascown, art teacher.
Oh.
It's something that can be sort of dismissed sometimes, and it's a really important thing. It's a great way to learn to express yourself.
Oh, definitely. Well, and the kids today, they've got so much pressure. There's testing, there's, yeah, you know, AP classes. So this is a really great way for them to let go of some of that anxiety or just, you know, just be creative in their expression. It's really fun to watch them grow and to see what they make. They're really unbelievable.
Jessica, how long have you been at Great Valley?
I've been there for 7 years now.
Okay, so did you ever work with Steve Swymer, or had he retired?
No, I didn't, but I've heard about him, yeah.
Yeah, he was the principal there for a long time, and I actually had a correspondence with him over the weekend because I mentioned his name last week when we pulled Great Valley. He's a great guy, and there's an impressive legacy at Great Valley.
Yes, yeah, it's a wonderful school. I can't rave about it enough. I plan to retire there, so.
Oh, well, there you go. It looks like you're on that. It looks like they're not going to get rid of you. You're too damn popular.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. You guys are too nice.
And have you guys graduated yet? Or, I mean, is the school out yet?
Yeah, well, the seniors graduated on Friday. We had like a little virtual, I had a senior homeroom this year, so I had a little virtual meetup with them. It was cool. Miss everybody in person. But, yeah, I actually teach a class at 9 a.m. today, and the kids are done tomorrow. So.
Okay, wow. Well, listen, then you've got this. Before they're all gone, we have the Preston and Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug.
Yes.
Which is loaded with artwork on it, by the way, which we did ourselves. Scribblings and so forth on this mug were from us, and Greg Monahan did a few of them as well.
So grade us if you would.
Yeah, no, God, please don't.
Hey, really quick, can I just make a plug for our Instagram account?
Absolutely.
And check out all the kids' work. It's
yes.
Just ArtGVHS, like Great Valley High School.
ArtGVHS, and that's on Instagram.
Yeah, and while the kids have been doing this online learning, they have made some unbelievable work. So it would be really cool to check out some of our more recent posts.
Excellent. We'll pass that along. Congratulations to you. We have the mug for you. We hope you have a great summer. Okay, Jessica?
Thank you. Take care.
All right, let's hear it for Jessica. Yeah. Dan Hagen. Great Valley. The next school that is up is Glassboro High School in Glassboro, New Jersey. So all you have to do is text word teacher to 39333, and then we'll follow that up with a text we send back to you. And then you can fill that out, and we'll find out tomorrow who is going to get the mug. We'll be back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, we're going to roll out the Bizarre File stories.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Sequoia Outback. You can, whether you're looking to build a new deck or freshen up the patio with the new furniture, Sequoia Outback has everything you need to create your backyard oasis. Route 309 in Hatfield or online at decksupplies.com. Well, out of England, a woman is facing a possible jail sentence after lashing out at her ex-boyfriend when she tried to rekindle their relationship. Deka Ahmad, who is 41, turned up at the home of Sylvester Ruiz during lockdown and messaged him saying, Surprise, I'm downstairs and I've got a bottle of wine. However, when he poured it into tumblers rather than wine glasses, she flew into a rage and threw it at him. He dodged out of the way and it smashed into a cabinet. Ahmad then slapped him around the face 10 times and hit his housemate, a guy named Ravi's Melders, with a belt before they were able to get her out of the house. That's when, out front, she dropped her panties and defecated on the doorstep of his home.
All over tumblers?
All over pouring wine into a tumbler rather than wine glass.
It's like wearing white after Labor Day.
The couple had been in a relationship since 2018, but as a result of previous trouble, Mr. Ruiz was banned from seeing Ahmed.
Because of a tumbler?
No, this is from something back in 2018. Okay. He appeared in court via video link as he is currently in custody on various charges, including stealing the doorbell from her home. Mm-hmm. Ahmed had said that on the day she attacked him with the... I think they got the names mixed up here.
It sounds like
it. Yeah. The tumbler, anyhow, she was at his house to retrieve the doorbell, and he had invited her in for wine. However, the judge rejected her version of the events and convicted her of criminal damage and two counts of assault by beating. Mr. Ruiz said she was drinking too much, and when she drinks too much, she's very aggressive and very angry over little things. She got super aggressive, started fighting my flatmate, tried to kick him, and then I realized this is out of control and we have to call the police. Somehow he managed... for her to be outside the door when she started being really loud outside the door. It was super loud. Afterwards, she was outside banging, and then suddenly it was silent and was standing inside looking at what was going on outside, and he said she was urinating and crapping outside of my main front door.
Ha!
I saw from the third floor window that she was slapping him with a belt, and she was trying to take his bicycle out, and he was trying to take it indoors. Six police officers arrived and tried to pin her down. She will be sentenced at Crown Court at a later date.
Never got that mad.
No.
Where I wanted to crap on someone's lawn.
No. A Virginia man inspired by notorious incel mass shooter Elliot Roger fantasized about blowing up a shopping mall and killing, quote, hot cheerleaders, according to an FBI affidavit.
Mm-hmm.
On June 2nd, a guy named Cole Carini of Richlands, Virginia, showed up at the Clinch Valley Medical Center with a missing hand. Several fingers on his other hand were also gone, and he had shrapnel wounds to the neck and throat. A local sheriff's deputy arrived to interview Carini, who claimed that his gruesome injuries were the result of a gardening accident.
So yes. I was putting down weed killer, and my hand blew off.
Yeah, but something didn't add up. Police... who knew Carini had previously been convicted on explosive charges, got a search warrant for his home, and called in the FBI.
An alligator bit my hand.
Oh, my God. He came across an alligator.
Yeah, it was.
When investigators got to the residence, they found a trail of blood leading from a red minivan parked in the driveway to the front door of the house and up the stairs to the second bedroom.
All right. I was going to blow up cheerleader mall.
After stepping over a flesh-colored substance that looked like a piece of human skin, cops found a plastic bottle filled with triacetone triperoxide, or TATP, a substance used in the creation of improvised explosive devices, inside a footlocker. Beside the footlocker was a box filled with rusty nails, a plastic container, the top of which had been peeled back in a manner consistent with an explosion.
All that standard gardening stuff.
The blinds in the room were damaged, and a chunk of flesh was stuck to the ceiling.
Well, honestly, if you're going to go with one story, at least clean up the damning evidence.
Down the street, agents discovered more evidence by a shed behind Carini's grandmother's house, PVC pipes, pieces of loose wires, empty chemical containers, and a pit that appeared to have been the site of an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the shed.
Was that the practice pit?
They turned up a hot plate. I think it was.
Yeah.
A hot plate, coffee cups with white crystal-like residue inside them, a battery with wires attached to it, and a crumpled, partially legible letter laying on the ground.
You know what they also found, Preston?
What?
A tumbler filled with wine.
There's a connection.
Yeah.
The letter read, the parts of which were legible, read, "He casually walked through the shopping mall. His jacket concealed deadly objects. He was doing it and was assured it must be done. Even if he died, this statement was worth it. He had of tension that would come and go as approached the stage of hot cheerleaders. A dead seriousness sank in as he realized he was truly passing the point of no return. He decided he would not back down I will not be afraid of the consequences no matter what. I will be heroic. I will make a statement like Elliot Rodgers did when he thought to that he thought to himself. The affidavit explains that Roger was an involuntary celibate who killed six people and injured 14 in 2014 before taking his own life. His manifesto said that, in part, if I can't have you girls, I will destroy you. Oof. And has since emerged as a hero of the sorts of young, disaffected men known as incels, men who hate women for rejecting them sexually. This is a long story, but it's just messed up. When agents followed up with Carini at the hospital, he insisted his hand and fingers were lopped off when his lawnmower flipped over. The blades were spinning so fast it acted like a bomb, he said.
Ugh.
An officer who responded to the scene reported that there did not appear to be any area of the grass mowed and that the grass at the property was around 6 inches high. He's currently in federal custody, by the way.
So for these loony, this incel group or whatever the story is, show them a picture of Ron Howard's brother, Clint Howard, and say tell him he's married. He found someone.
Yeah. Right.
There's still hope.
It can take time.
Right.
And
but there's someone out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at this guy.
All right. And there you go. That was a messed up story. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. More stories coming up later on from the weekend that I think you'll enjoy. We're going to take a break. When we return, our buddy Mark Zumoff is going to be on with Sixers. The NBA has announced plans for the season.
Yeah.
And we'll get the latest from Mark, and he can tell us what we can expect. We'll take a break and come right back with him. Stay with us.
Here, Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style, whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style, whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Another reminder, Glassboro High School from Glassboro, New Jersey. We're going to find out who the coolest teacher of the year has been. According to the students, if you attend the school, need to text word teacher to 39333. And we awarded Miss Jessica Stanhagen of Great Valley High School earlier this morning. She was very cool and happy when she called in. So we're happy to do that. So get yourself set. All right. And if you're an NBA fan, if you're a Sixers fan, starting back up from what I understand. I don't follow all the details. There's so much information in the world right now that we need to go to a source who's got all of the answers. And we are happy to welcome our good friend, Mr. Mark Zumoff, to the show this morning. Hey, Zoo, how you doing, bud?
I'm singing. I'm busy singing.
You're singing. How has your quarantine life been, man?
You know, I am blessed. I'm healthy. My family's healthy.
Good.
I live at the beach now. I moved here a few months ago. I always had a home here, but now I've made it permanent. So, I love it down here. Of course, the weather's starting to get warm, so that's been good. And we've been doing a lot at NBC in terms of programming.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're replaying the Phillies run in 2008, and that's going to resume tonight with the League Championship Series against the Dodgers, and of course we'll have the World Series later on. And we just replayed the 1983 finals between the Sixers and the Lakers, and we had some great interviews with the likes of Billy Cunningham and Julius Erving, Earl Cureton, Bobby Jones. So, we've been doing a lot of work remotely, and we just did something to what you guys just said about the season resuming. We just had a show a couple of nights ago on NBC about the fact that the NBA is back. A lot of I's have to be dotted and T's have to be crossed between now and the presumed start date of July 31st, but I'm excited to get back to work in some form or fashion.
Yeah, we're all excited that that everybody's getting back to work, like yourself included. And, you know, just a couple of weeks ago when the NHL had, you know, sort of announced their tentative plans, we had talked to Jim Jackson about all of this stuff, and we asked him, and I'm going to ask you, if you have any idea of what this means for you. Will you be in Orlando, or will you have to be watching on a screen somewhere in order to do play-by-play in it, and at what point will you not be doing play-by-play and it be a national feed?
Well, you know, anything I say right now to you guys is going to be speculation, but I'll tell you what we normally do, what we normally do is we announce regular season games, except if they are exclusives for the network. And then we will do the first round of the playoffs. And then once the Sixers get past the first round, the networks take over exclusively. I would doubt, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would doubt that we would go to Orlando. It's my understanding that they're going to limit the traveling parties to around 35 people. At least those were the preliminary estimates. That includes players, you know, sport personnel, medical people, coaches, PR people, that kind of thing.
Okay.
I ain't making that cut.
you won't commit to that.
Well, I want to ask about the status of the Sixers now, because when you know, we left it back in early March, Ben Simmons was out. He had a back injury, and we weren't sure if or when or how he would come back. I don't know if you've heard anything about his health and the overall health of the team.
I think the overall health of the team is good. Because of the pandemic, you're really restricted on what you can do to begin with. So, you know, unless you hurt yourself falling over your kids' toys or something like that, this is a good thing from that standpoint. All indications are that Ben Simmons is healthy, but remember, you know, he hadn't picked up a basketball starting in, I want to say, mid-February when he first hurt his back. So it's going to be a challenge, certainly, for the Sixers to ramp him up, get him going. I think what's going to happen is later this month, maybe in a week or so, the Sixers are going to start to convene. They'll have some training camp-style practices. And then at some point in July, I want to say maybe the first week, they'll go to Orlando. They'll continue to do that. They'll have some scrimmages, maybe a preseason game or a style game, and then they're going to have what looks to be those eight, what they're calling seeding games, which will decide how the teams are going to be seeded for the playoffs. And, you know, then they'll go right to the playoffs. So hopefully in that time, I mean, he's young. He's used to playing heavy minutes. He's typically healthy. This back thing was an anomaly for him, certainly, in his first two-plus seasons. So, you know, we'll see. But right now, all indications are that he seems to be pretty healthy.
Mark, I'm curious as to how the pandemic will affect the grand NBA tradition of teammates drinking each other's sweat. Will that continue?
I'm sitting here trying to conjure up that. And I have to say, in all seriousness, I think about NBA players or college players, I should say, in June when they're drafted. And I watch them and they're on the stage with Adam Silver feeling really good about themselves, as they should. And people are congratulating them. You know, they made it. And yeah, all I'm saying to myself is, this is where it starts. So same thing with the NBA guys. I mean, they recently announced that they're back, but now the real work begins. And just about anything you do is governed by that health and safety thing. So, right, you know, whether it's swapping sweat or swapping spit, they're going to have to think about something.
Yeah. All right, well, so Steve made a funny observation, but I'm going to ask a serious question about sleeping arrangements. And, you know, the NBA players on average are like 6'5", 6'6", on average. You got your 7-footers, obviously. When they are on the road, do they have to make special accommodations at hotels to make sure that they actually fit in their beds?
You know, that's a really good question. And the answer is, I don't know. I do know my partner, Ala Abdonabi, is 6'10". When he gets in the shower, he's got to flip the thing up.
Yeah. I'm over 6 foot, and sometimes I've been in a hotel and you can't, you got to kneel to get
down. Yeah.
Right, and I think what he'll do is maybe he'll sleep diagonally in the bed, that kind of thing, you know, to make sure that it fits. But yeah, that's a really good question. I've never asked that question, and unfortunately, I got to plead ignorance, guys. I do not have an answer for
you. All right.
Mark, during quarantine, a lot of people were watching The Last Dance. I'm wondering what you thought, if you had any memories of the Jordan era and Phil Jackson era during that time, and how they played against the Sixers, and what you thought of that miniseries.
I loved it simply because, well, a lot of reasons. You know, I'm a basketball fan. I was mostly the halftime guy through that era and later on the play-by-play guy through the second run of three. But I just remember Michael Jordan being really gracious. Now, I had an African-American producer, so that kind of helped me make a connection with a lot of players and really learn the game and what it was all about. But we would, you know, today, a lot of times you need permission from PR people, guys need to be escorted, and there could be layers of people you need to go through in order to secure an interview. And I understand that. I mean, that's the way it is nowadays with the internet and everything. You have to be certain. But back then, you know, we would just grab Michael Jordan as if he was, you know, a guy off the street. Mm. And we would say, hey, Michael, we need you for some halftime features, that sort of thing. And he would happily sit with us as long as he didn't have to be at a team meeting. And he was great. So I still proclaim him the greatest player of all time, even though I'm a Philly guy and I love Wilt. And I enjoyed it. I think the 80s and 90s, to me anyway, were a golden era for me at basketball. It was great to see.
Yeah, I've had the luxury and the privilege to be able to talk to Joe Crawford a bunch of times. And I know you know Joe. Joe was a longtime referee in the game, and he has reffed all of the greatest basketball players of all time. And, you know, sometimes there's like changing of the guards, right? So it's like, Magic was on his way down, Mike was on his way up, and Mike was on his way down, Iverson, and then LeBron and all that. If you had to, in your estimation, give us a year or two of the best basketball of all time, what would you say?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm going to be parochial about it and say this for the time that I've been doing games, 2001.
Yeah.
When the Sixers went to the finals. And, that was Larry Brown's genius in that he surrounded Allen Iverson with the perfect complement of players. And quite frankly, with all due respect to those guys, as the years go, you say to yourself, oh, well, who did Allen play with? People will remember Eric Snow, but then there was George Lynch, there was Tyrone Hill. There was Theo Ratliff, and then, of course, he was traded, and Dikembe Mutombo came in. And just the way they did it, of course, Allen was a hero that we embraced, maybe like nobody else, just because he was so small and he got punished, and he was always viewed as the underdog and the outlier. And, you know, we in Philly, we love that stuff, you know what I mean? Because I think we consider ourselves outliers. So, and then they beat Indiana, who had been a problem for them the first 2 years.
Yeah.
And then they go seven games and beat Toronto. They go seven games and they beat Milwaukee. And then they win game one in L.A. where Iverson steps over Tyronn Lue. By the way, they just celebrated the 19th anniversary of that. and I just remember, like, no other display. It literally felt like every other car had these flags that people attached to the car. I don't know if, you know, anyone there is can remember that. But, selfishly to me, being a Sixers guy and a fan and a broadcaster, that was a great year for me.
Do you have to pinch yourself when you, I mean, just sort of look back at it and just to, I mean, you were a part of that.
Yeah, but listen, guys, I'm in my 26th year of doing this, and it's an out-of-body experience. I'm a kid who grew up in Northeast Philly. This is all I ever wanted to do. And, you know, and I was one of those kids, and I try to tell young people all the time, I was chubby. I wasn't among the cool kids. I was the one least expected to succeed in high school. And then, you know, things fell in for me for whatever reason. In fact, I remember people are asking me, what's going to be like to do games without fans? Well, when I was a kid, I would turn the sound down of the game and do games into a tape recorder. And when games weren't on, back in the day, they only had over-the-air stations. So if you put on, say, Channel 8, all you got was static, and it sounded like a crowd. So I'd sit there. So I'd regulate the static, and I would make up a game. Here's Greer, download a Chamberlain headshot. Good.
Oh. Dude, that's hilarious.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. But hang on a second. You were chubby as a kid?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, hey, weren't you heavy at one point?
Yeah, but I was an adult, and after I started drinking, I turned 21. But I mean, as a kid, because you're real thin, you're in great shape.
Yeah, thanks. No, I was chubby as a kid, and when I was in college, I got to work at a scrap iron and steel yard, and we had to wear long pants and helmets and long sleeves, and you know, it was, you know, you were given a forecast before, 90 and humid. Well, you take that, and you're surrounded by these, you know, heavy equipment and hot machines and big piles of iron and steel. It was like 100,000 degrees. And, you know, I sort of became a man through all that.
Hey, with the play-by-play, I mean, it's, you know, it's been a while. And do you do anything to keep the chops up? Do you practice out loud, or do you sit there and watch seagulls on the beach and call that?
Yeah. You know what? I've been doing a lot of happy birthday messages for, like, 9-year-old kids.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much kept me going. But, like, play-by-play of seagulls and stuff like that, no, I have not done that. Listen, guys, I have a question for you.
Sure.
You know, we've established a tradition now where I've been doing play-by-play of the City Six coaches in the Papa Shot at Camp Out for Hunger. Have you guys even thought about Camp Out for Hunger, what that's going to look like?
We've been thinking intensely about it. And
yeah, we just had our first meeting the other day to begin discussions about it, and we're not sure yet.
There are iterations. We know that it's the one thing that we are thinking is that it's never been more essential than it's going to be this time around. So by hook or crook, in whatever variation or way that we do it, it's going to get done. We just need to figure out what is the best way, the safest way, and the way that will get the biggest yield. Because I don't, you know, this is when you talk about in the history of unique experiences, especially in the history of the camp out, there's been nothing like this. So we're going to try to soldier on.
Good, because what you guys do is great. It's got to get done. And listen, I'll do play by play behind a mask. It'll be fine. Trust me. You'll be able to hear me.
I believe it.
Yeah. Mark, listen, I have no idea. Nobody knows what's happening with baseball right now, but as we have it, with basketball and hockey coming back at late July, early August, football potentially, you know, on that same timeline, it is going to be an awesomely exciting end of summer, early fall. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it's really going to be weird, too, because to have basketball at this time, I mean, even when you consider the normal calendar, by, you know, mid-July, third week of July, that sort of thing, the summer leagues are kind of tapering out, and that is typically the quiet season. That's where the executives get away and front office people and broadcasters hide out on the beach, you know, like late July, August. Well, we're going to be ramping up around that time. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, games without fans and what it's going to feel like in the middle of a hot August afternoon to have the Sixers, you know, playing the Bucks or something like that. It's going to be interesting. But you know what? I think through all of this, whether it's the protests that we've seen or the pandemic that we have felt, we need to get back to some sense where we can grab hold of the things that we enjoy, that take us away, that sweep us away, that entertain us. And we love our sports, especially here in Philly, and I'm just glad that in some form or fashion the NBA is going to be back.
There are shifts that have taken place as a result of the pandemic, and Steve has mentioned this several times, but, you know, now you can, in Pennsylvania, you can get certain liquors delivered, you know, and like, so there are things that have happened that I would, now that cat is out of the bag, I would see really difficult to get the cat back into the bag. I'm wondering if the NBA's schedule shift might take place in a more permanent fashion and that they would start the season later, you know, start the season around Christmas or something along those lines.
Well, that's an interesting question because in their release, the NBA last week said that they would expect that next season, and by the way, the draft's going to be like in October and free agency, but they would expect the season to start around December 1st. Now, that was a league announcement, but they still have to iron that out with the players because, remember, next summer, there is, you would hope that they're going to have the Olympics, and, you know, they're going to want to get players ready for that, and that's going to require a rest period followed by training camp and that kind of thing. So, listen, there are smarter minds than me at work trying to figure all this stuff out. I think right now what they're trying to do is just make sure that they keep people safe, that they get everyone to Orlando, that they square everything's away, and they're actually able to play basketball. And then you're right. They're going to have to think about next year. You know, maybe they delay it till Christmas. Maybe they don't play 82 games. Maybe they only play 60 games or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. But right now, you're right. The conga line is really backed up out the door, and they're going to have to try to figure that out as they go.
Well, some light at the end of the tunnel with the announcement of a tentative date of July 31st. Any idea when that might become a firm date, Zoom?
You know what? I'm on an as needs to know basis, like everyone else.
Yeah,
I'm literally just sitting here, and you know, I can make a few calls and maybe try to get an inkling as to what's going on, but I'm better off like everybody else, just kind of waiting and seeing what's going to happen. But I'm gearing myself right now to July 31st, good. And hopefully on or about that date, we'll get back to it.
Hey, if you do end up in Orlando, will you make the push for the Cinderella suite at the Magic Castle?
Only if the bed's big enough for the 5'10 Mark Zumar.
Zoo, I go down the shore every weekend, so let me know where you live. I'll bring you an apple fritter.
You're a beautiful human being.
All right, Mark Zumar, thanks so much, Mark. It's good to hear from you, man. NBC Sports Philadelphia.
He's so good. 31st.
He's the best. He's the best. And when he comes out of Camp Out for Hunger, it's really great. It takes it to another level, which is awesome. So good to have him on. One thing before we move on to anything else, we have a couple pieces of audio to play. I thought it would be kind of nice. And apparently, we have some audio of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
Audio of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay, I didn't know it made sound.
It does now.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't know that either, the designer specifically. So they had done some architectural adjustments onto the bridge, right, Steve?
They put basically clamp covers on a lot of the cable, is my understanding. And so in windy conditions, and it's always windy in San Francisco, there is a what they call singing. It sounds like a hum, but it is loud enough that if you're on the bridge, it's very loud, and it can be heard for miles around.
Okay, well, I have two here. Do you want the one is heard from miles away, and the other one just says Golden Gate Bridge singing. So yep, which one do you want
first? That
would
be the first.
The Golden Gate Bridge singing. Let's go with that one first. So here is a clip of what it sounds like now when you're walking across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Wow. Isn't that wild?
Like, I wouldn't be able to handle that
with
my tinnitus and my hearing issues.
And there's foot traffic across the bridge all the time.
Yes,
so you're that's a and it's apparently very loud on the bridge.
Yeah, like 11 years ago, I think it was. I rode my not my bike, but I rented a bike and I rode it across the Golden Gate Bridge, and there was none of that. I don't know if I would be able to handle that.
I had
that would hurt your ears.
Yes. Yeah. Very much so, yeah.
I have the exact explanation. It started when engineers installed new railing slats covering the edges of the bridge to fight off wind resistance.
Okay.
That's so they tried to make it more aerodynamic, and it makes that sound now.
Yeah, the spokesman for the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District said that we knew going into the handrail replacement that the bridge would sing during exceptionally high winds from the west, as we saw yesterday.
Sing, cause nervous breakdown, same thing.
The phenomenon was recorded and posted on social media, some describing it as angelic and peaceful, others calling it eerie, mournful, or annoying. So it all depends on how you interpret it. So is this, do we have the other clip from miles away?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear this one. Oh, yeah. Same thing, same tone.
That's from a point called Lands End Lookout. So that's miles away.
Wow.
Kind of sounds like whale songs.
Just constant.
Yeah.
Wow.
Incessant whale songs.
During design...
I gotta say, it's a little annoying.
Oh, Tony Bennett?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
That's the, you know...
That's my
home. That's your town.
That's my town.
Wow.
I left my heart there. Sometimes it's so loud you can't hear yourself stepping in poop.
During the design, the district studied the potential impacts of the project, including wind tunnel testing of a scale model of the bridge under high winds. The test revealed that under certain high wind conditions, the bridge would hum as air passed more freely over the bridge roadway.
Here's the wind in excess of 60 miles an hour.
Ah! That's angelic.
Yeah, that's very angelic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we rented bikes there, and we rode our bikes up the Bay coastline and then up a hill and then across the Golden Gate Bridge and then the hill down into Sausalito, which is really cool. And then we hopped on a ferry across the bay. And as we were on the ferry going back to where we rented the bikes from, there was a Blue Angels flight. It was Fleet Week, and there was a whole air show and everything.
Wow,
it was
that's
like
cool.
That was a really,
that's a
really,
good day.
That was a great day. That was a really great day.
I definitely want to go back to San Francisco sometime. It's been a long,
love to have you, Preston.
Long.
Take care of my personal tour.
Long time since I've been there.
Bring some galoshes because you're going to be stepping in a lot of poop.
Well, when I was a kid, I saw a guy start to play with himself.
That's great, isn't it?
Right next to the window where I was sitting. I mean, not from afar, like walked right up and started.
They call him Trolley Pete.
Jerking it.
We talked about this with your father because you're with your dad.
Yeah.
It was your father's son trip, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And he's like, you know, it was him and me and my uncle, and they go, hey, look at this guy. They're like, my dad pointed it out to me. Check that out.
Well, he's just trying to walk him into the town.
Yeah.
You know? Remember we talked about the
boy, San Francisco. What a town.
By the way, welcome to San Francisco. Hear my ball.
Mm-hmm. Everybody loves it.
What we talked about the Bushman in Fisherman's Wharf.
I got
jump
scared
out.
By him.
Yeah, he'd jump out and scare you. And that's like he would make money doing that. And he was sort of a street performer. But that's what his gig was. His intent was to scare you. And he did.
I got scared by Bushman. And then I was using a bathroom at the International House of Pancakes, and a guy came in, a homeless guy off the street came in, yacked all over the toilet next to me on the floor.
Whoa.
And then he went in and basically took a bath in the sink and then left. Oh. Yeah, I know.
Memories, okay. What a town. What a town.
Toddling town.
Whether they're spanking it next to your passenger side window or puking in the bathroom next to you, stepping in poop. And the bridge screaming all night.
Oh,
what better place to live than San Francisco?
City by the Bay.
City by the Bay, bathed in poop, screaming bridges. Homeless people jacking it right in front of your car. I can go on. Oh, yeah, and the home of Rice-A-Roni.
There was a bar in the gay area of San Francisco, which I know, you know, but they're like, you know, kind of like the gayborhood of that. Of the town, and they made sure they drove me by to see a liquor store that was literally named Sucker's Liquors. And
I love that.
My dad wanted to point that out to me as well.
Your dad's 13. Your dad's like my dad. It's like he you could just tell my dad was waiting for us to get old enough to start sharing this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Look, there's a guy spanking it right next to the car. Press, isn't that funny?
It's Tony Bennett.
Isn't that
hilarious? Welcome to San Francisco.
Let me show you my balls.
This one's Peter, and this one is Louie.
Peter and Louie are the name of your balls?
Absolutely.
Come out and meet them. All right. Hey, I'm going to switch gears abruptly, but we have the world's largest gape on the phone line. Yes, we had mentioned that a gentleman from our area, his name is Philip, has essentially the largest mouth in the world.
World record caliber. In fact, is the world record holder. And we said earlier, we are super proud of this achievement.
And lives in Boyertown.
Yes.
So this is Philip, everybody. Yay! Philip Angus. Hey, man.
Hi. What's up?
Hey, well, we wanted to talk to the largest mouth. No, we saw your story. When did you get this distinction officially?
Okay, so, guys, I don't remember any of the actual dates.
Yeah.
I just remember it's the middle of the quarantine, I'm getting upset with homework, and my mom just walks, and she's like, D, you just got the record. I'm like, wait, you're serious? Like, right now. So I was freaking out, but sadly, they were like, oh, don't tell anyone, because we want to be a surprise. I'm like, I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, like please if I tell them, but I listened to it, so I was kind of disappointed. So for like a couple months, I couldn't say anything.
So you found out you'd received this distinction a while ago, and is there some sort of a caveat to the Guinness classification that makes you hold on to it until they make the official declaration?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've gone through the process. Actually, we had a guy come in here and have the most body piercings in one sitting, and he went through the process of submitting to Guinness, but apparently he He didn't do everything that was supposed to be done. So it's fairly involved, but you had done it so long ago you'd forgotten about the whole thing being in motion, correct?
Yeah. You know, if I think back to the whole submitting process, I'll be honest, it was a pain. There were so many forms, and I had friends in school help me, put them into a printer to make it look like an online copy and stuff. It was not fun, is all I'll say.
Wow, it was not fun.
But it's paid off. I mean, this is yours.
Has it paid off?
Well, I mean,
yeah, it was definitely worth it. I'd do it again.
Okay.
Yeah, because you've got. You're popping up in all news feeds.
Well, when did, I mean, did someone else point out that you've got a gigantic mouth and might have the biggest one in the world? When did it actually creep into you, or how did it creep into your mind that I might actually have the biggest mouth in the world?
Well, it was last school year, and a friend of mine sent me something on Instagram. It was the previous reporter, this guy in Germany.
Yeah.
And he was like, "You can try to beat this, right?" Because all my friends know I have a big mouth. Looked up, I could beat it. So I was like, why not? So, you know, I went through the process to try to beat it. They take forever to actually send you back your results or anything. So it was like months later I finally got it back. But in that time frame, the previous dude, the Isaac Johnson kid, he got it. So a bunch of my friends were like, "Can you still beat him? Like, are you going to not be able to get it now?" I'm like, no, I will.
Okay. That's all the right. Confidence that makes a champion.
Really bad about it,
yeah. Yeah. And by the way, so you're 16 years old, right?
Yes.
How old was the other person?
I think he's 14. So it makes me a bit nervous. Like, he'll get older. That is not bigger than mine. But, I mean, What can I do? I have it now. I'm happy with that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Listen, it's not your fault. I mean, you are the champion, and clearly by all measures you are. And so, you know, but that gives that 14-year-old something to aspire to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know if, I don't know, medically, like, will your mouth get bigger?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm curious if the human mouth grows over time.
Right. We're seeing a picture of you bite 3 chipwiches, a full
stacked on top of each other.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was my mom's idea. It was such a good idea.
So, hey, okay, I have a question,
yeah,
Philip, because one time I was talking about this when we brought your story up earlier this morning, where I was just joking around and I opened my mouth as wide as I possibly could. And I got a cramp in a muscle, under my chin. It hurt so bad. Now, you've obviously opened your mouth as wide as you can several times. Have you ever had that happen?
No, I didn't. But see, when I was like getting my measurement in my dentist office, they didn't realize. But if I hold it open for too long, it starts to get really, really painful.
Yeah.
And like my head gets really fuzzy. So I'm like, I can't. Like, there's a time limit to how long I can hold it open. And then I'm like, okay, I can't. It's just I don't think the human body was meant to stretch that far.
No, there are many snakes that don't have a jaw that's meant to stretch that far. So, but it is. There are so many shots. I mean, with a full apple in your mouth is pretty amazing.
I think it's the one thing that. Maybe the most, not the fact that I had the regular thing, but I'm like, I just shoved an apple in my mouth, and it was easier to put in my mouth than when I was actually, like, measuring for the record. But the apple is just easier.
Yeah, no, I'm of like, course.
Now, with that ability to be able to put an entire apple in your mouth, and then I've seen you bite down on stuff, we've seen videos of you, I would imagine you have to be careful because you still have to chew all that stuff if you're actually going to swallow. Do you generally, when you take that gigantic bite, do you then just spit out what you have in your mouth because it's so big?
No, I chew it all and I eat it.
Wow. Okay. God bless you. There's your second world record.
I won't take a bite of half an apple and just spit it out. I make sure I eat the whole thing.
Oh, that's very conscientious of you. So let's, obviously the normal questions are asked when someone has that ability to take in that much at once. Do you have an excessively big appetite, or how would you qualify yourself as an eater?
I eat a lot. I'll be honest, I probably overeat a bit too.
I love this kid.
I like to eat fast as well. I'm
criticized by that by my mom almost every meal. But I mean, if I enjoy eating that way, I'm not going to stop eating that way. Well, you know?
And listen, you've been given a genetic gift from God that allows you to take in much more food. So with that, do you eat faster than most people?
Yeah, he said that.
Oh, he did. Okay.
I didn't hear that.
Hey, Philip, speaking of your mom, we heard she's a huge fan of the President and Steve show. Is that true?
Yeah. You know, as a kid, my life is like video games, but she was flipping out. She's like, oh my God, I love this show. You were talking about you. It's so cool. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds awesome.
Oh my God, that's excellent. So when you get this distinction from Guinness World Records, do you get a plaque or anything like that that you can put up to commemorate it?
Well, so so they don't tell you this, and I'm not sure how it works normally, because obviously it was a bit different. I'd send the videos, but you know, when it came, it was just like the paper.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I just get a frame like with it.
Yeah.
So we looked it up. And then we had to buy a frame for $3, which just surprised us. We're like, really? Like,
dude, they do that all the time. Whenever you get an award, you'll get it in that way. And then there are these companies that begin to flood you because they find out, they scour all these awards that have been given out, and they exist to frame the awards that you've gotten. The real, and you'd figure Guinness, which is one of the most hallowed and observed record books and records in the world, would send you a pre-plaqued award, but no. So that's kind of sad to hear that.
Yeah, I think if it's like face to face, if it wasn't these circumstances, I think they like give it the frame with the record to you.
Yeah,
because anytime I see it, they always have the record next to them, all nicely framed and stuff, but. I don't care right now because I have the frame and I love the way it looks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you did get a frame.
I'm happy with what I have.
All right.
Hey, I want to ask, Philip, you know, and with you being 16, Wikipedia in high schools, they generally have, you know, notable alumni in their notes. And I'm curious, what school do you go to, by the way?
I go to Boyertown Area High School.
Have you had a chance to look on their Wikipedia page to see if anybody has entered that yet?
No, I didn't. I'll be honest, I didn't know.
We're going to check that for you right now.
We're
going
to make sure it's the People's Encyclopedia, right. so we can make sure that happens.
The people need to speak, and they need to add you to the notables from your high school, because while Boyertown Area High School, I'm sure, is wonderful, but I don't think they've ever had a record world record holder.
No,
that's come out of there, but I could be wrong. Well, I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. Which, by the way, have you guys wrapped up school yet?
Yeah, online schooling was a pain in the ass. I hated it every second of it.
Yeah.
Yep. But it's finally, we're so happy about it. That was the worst part. Just everything about it was just, I hated it.
Yeah, no, I've heard a number of people say that. So given your druthers, you really enjoy the school experience. I mean, when you have a mall like you have, you want to walk around and show it off to your peers.
Yeah.
Are you dating anybody?
No, I didn't. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not.
Do you think this will help?
I don't know what you would find attractive, like a very abnormally large man.
I will direct you to...
Because in the corner, you just see teeth, tongue, everything. I'm like, that one.
Let me remind you, you're talking about, Philip, you're talking about Mick Jagger and Steven Tyler and these people, these rock stars with huge mouths. Yeah. They're very popular with the women.
All right.
I mean, maybe 70 years ago, but they're...
Yeah, right, right. That could come back around.
It could be all the rage in a little while. Maybe you'll start the trend.
Yeah. We'll see. All right. Well, listen, we think it's really cool. I do have one request, Philip. What kind of are you on your cell phone right now or a landline?
I am on my phone.
Okay. Is there any way you can shove it in your mouth right now while we have you on the phone and say, I love the Preston and Steve show?
I can do that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I want to hear that.
Give him a minute.
When this is all over, we got to get you out to an event. You need to be our ringer when we want to impress a crowd.
Yeah, most definitely.
All right.
All right. Well, listen, Philip, say hi to your mom and congratulations on your award. All right, bud.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Philip Angus, yeah! World record holder in our area. He has the largest gape is the official title of that, largest gape. So that's from his teeth to teeth, bottom teeth to top teeth, and his mouth is wide open. And you know what? And
there's a video of him with the dentist using a caliper to measure that to make sure it was accurate. This is all part of the stuff you have to do when you chronicle your submission for the Guinness Book of World Records.
What I was looking for is the official measurement. Nick, can you look that up real quick?
I think 9.52 centimeters.
Which is how many 3. Inches?
3.75
inches, which doesn't sound like a whole lot, but when you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, there you go. That's actually huge. So he was great.
He was.
I love that kid. Let's take a break and come back in just a moment, and we'll see what else we can get into. A reminder, it is Monday morning, so we'll get our first letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize, $250 Meineke gift card. From our friends at the Meineke and the Mayfair section in Northeast Philly. Stay there. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I noticed something yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I did. And this is...
He's back, and we didn't anticipate it. It's a return of the noticer.
And this isn't a... I didn't notice a story or something.
Notice a story or something?
No, this is something I noticed out on my own.
The noticer noticing on his own. Is there anything he won't notice?
I noticed my daughter doesn't want to hang out with me anymore.
Oh, wait a second.
And I bring this up
that
because...
That transcends just noticer territory.
Yeah. Well, I was... My daughter was going to walk. We have two dogs. And she's like, I'm going to go walk Haley. And I go, oh, okay. I'm like, well, you want me to... I'll grab Rook and we'll walk together. She's like, no, that's okay. I was like,
oh, no.
Dagger through the heart.
In my heart.
Jesus.
So my wife, to make me feel better... She goes, well, we'll go walk Rook together. We'll just go in the opposite direction.
Oh, so, no.
So we did.
That's
fine. That's
how old is she?
She's 13.
Well, she's right at the age.
She's right at the age. So I'm trying to tell myself that. But anyhow, the reason.
She probably just wants a little, like, independence. She can now go for a walk by herself and take the dog and, you know, be a little bit of an adult.
That's or she hates you.
Or she hates me.
Or she's, starting to hate you.
Yeah. So as my wife and I were walking in the opposite direction, what I noticed was that, there you go, is that the honeysuckle.
And the story continues.
The honeysuckles are in full bloom right now.
I love that.
I do too. And it's actually very special for my daughter and I. We share that love of that scent, that smell of the honeysuckles.
But she was nowhere to be found.
She was nowhere to be found. Oh, no. I picked a few for her anyway.
She burned them.
No, but what I wanted to ask you guys, am I wasting my time with this honeysuckle thing or not? Because when I was a kid, and tell me if you would do this, you take off the bloom and you pull from the bottom, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you taste it.
Yep. Yes.
And you can, okay.
And then you do whippets.
Yeah. And then you do whippets and you pass out.
And then you get a poison control.
no, but I was curious. I honestly have never gone through life concurring with anyone that's actually a legit thing or not, of just something my sister and I always used
to
do.
Please repeat this. I'm not familiar with this.
And I taught my daughter to do it, so that's what we do. So you take the actual flower part of the honeysuckle off of the vine, and then you pinch the bottom of it. And so there are these long little... I don't know what the word you use.
It's like a stamen.
Like a stamen. And you
John Stamen.
And you pull you pull it out. you pull it out.
John Stamos.
And then we're looking at a picture here. Here's an illustration.
Oh, okay. Oh,
then you taste it. You put it in your mouth, and it tastes kind of like honey.
Sometimes, if you're lucky, there's a little droplet on there.
Yes, exactly.
And my mom taught me that. This is a bonding moment I had with my mom that you had with your daughter.
Okay. So does that have anything to do with bees pollinating it bees and honey and all that stuff?
That's probably some connection, right?
So let me ask you just on a medical end, is that... Are you safe doing that?
We're still here.
I know. Yeah. But maybe you guys are.
You run the same risk if you pick wild raspberries or something. Or arsenic. No, I mean, like, anything that you put in your mouth in the wild, you should be careful about. But, like, I don't think you're going to really run.
It's not poisonous.
Like, I like to suck on a raccoon now and then.
Sure.
But I just don't know. if they're rabid, can I still suck on them?
It has to be a night raccoon. Yeah.
Kathy, have you ever done that?
Yes, we did do that as kids, yes. I didn't always eat it because I never thought it actually tasted good, but yeah, I tried it.
Okay. Now, have I heard of honeysuckle wine before? I know there's like dandelion wine. I don't know if there's honeysuckle wine.
I think you might be right.
I'm not sure.
I want to say that there's a song that has honeysuckle wine as
That's why something seems vaguely familiar to me about that.
Honeysuckle wine. I just made that up.
Honeysuckle wine.
Please write that. Write that song today.
Honeysuckle wine.
But by the way, that scent, that smell of that flower brings back vivid childhood memories. It's one of those things that can bring back childhood memories.
And it's actually considered an invasive plant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It kills small animals.
So, meaning it was not native?
No, I think it's just like it can overrun an area.
Like kudzu or something
kudzu,
like that?
Like kudzu, yeah. You guys familiar with kudzu?
Yes.
You've heard us mention it before,
It's a rabid St. Bernard.
No, it's not.
It's a Cujo.
It's Cujo, yeah.
yeah, honeysuckle wine's a thing.
Honeysuckle wine.
It has its own jingle and everything.
Okay.
6 cups of honeysuckle flower petals, loosely packed. 7.5
and other
pints
wine.
Of water, yes. Add 2 gallons of Chardonnay and mix.
2 pounds of honey, it says?
Yeah.
Wow. 2 teaspoons of acid blend.
Oh, God.
Meaning
4 quarts of lye.
LSD?
You're supposed to...
And an ignition switch.
1/8 teaspoon tannin. I'm not even familiar with some of this stuff. Then you get some yeast and then champagne wine yeast.
Well, that's far too much work.
Easy to find.
And you can make honeysuckle wine. I'm going to go to Travis.
So fine.
Hey, Travis, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, man?
Hey, another day. I was driving down the road. I heard y'all talking about the honeysuckles. Right. My grandmother told me about the same story. So we tried them out when I was younger when I came to visit up north. When I went down south, my other grandmother warned us, don't do that. So I was trying to figure out why, and I found out that down south there's a plant called Datura. Angel trumpets, which looks like a honeysuckle.
I've heard of them.
Way bigger. We had an issue, and it actually happened in my high school, where a kid, like, overdosed. I don't know if he ate the whole bottom of it, but the active chemical, and that's peyote. The kid almost died. He was running from the cops. He ended up, I think he cut off his own finger or something in the process of running away.
Your grandmother's telling you this? And this dude cut his fingers off.
It was absolutely ridiculous, and it was funny because people down in Florida, when I mentioned it, were like, no, it's not even worth trying the honeysuckles with the stories we had back in high school.
Yeah, you know, Travis, I'd be reticent to just in nature, even though I know, like, I have a fruit, you know, that's growing in my yard. And I know, I'm just always reticent to, you know, pick something off a tree and just start, chewing on it.
It got really bad, man. We get kumquats, we get those Spanish plums or Chinese plums. So there's fruit growing all over that's edible in Florida, by all means.
Right.
But it got to be such a big deal that the homeowners associations and the schools got involved and went around and were removing these trees from people's yards.
Well, I think there used to be a story. It would always pop up every couple of summers where kids would go out and the trees that yield berries or the bushes, they'd eat berries because some of them would look like raspberries, but they're not.
Right.
And it's easy to confuse them.
Travis, are you calling from Florida now?
No, actually, I live up here in Ben Salem at the moment, but I've only lived in Pennsylvania 3 years, so I'm still considered a Florida boy.
All right, gotcha. Well, thanks for listening, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Have a good one. I'll hear y'all guys.
Take care, bud. We'll see you. Hang on a second. Let me go to Dave. Had an unfortunate experience with something like this. Hey, Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Hey, my sister, back when she was younger, she did the sucking of the honeysuckle, but what people don't realize is poison ivy, poison sumac, stuff grows in the same area. She looked like an alien when she got home.
So it was simply because it was in proximity to these
other ones. Your sister's pretty
high. Yes, it was a pile of rocks, and the honeysuckle was beautiful and tempting, and everybody was there.
Yeah.
But she was highly allergic to poison ivy. And she almost went blind.
What? Wow! So, because she had ingested poison sumac.
Yeah, poison sumac. Poison. Who knows what?
Yeah.
She looked like an alien. Like her whole head was like triple the size of her.
Can I get your sister's number?
Yeah.
It was ET.
ET was macking on your sister.
Exactly.
No. Wow. So how long?
She
was
almost went blind.
Jeez.
The doctor told my mom if they hadn't gotten her to the emergency room when they did, that like if it was another minute,
Okay.
Like it was that bad.
Therein lies my reticence to start sucking on stuff I find in nature.
So the reason I'm calling is really like a public service as well.
Sure. Yes.
Not just to share a story, but to before you dive into that honeysuckle.
Before you suck, call 811.
Exactly.
Look around and see if you see anything. I wish I knew. Thanks for your call, by the way, Dave. I wish I knew exactly what poison ivy looked like. I know a guy who is allergic to it, and I was playing golf with him one time. He's like, don't go in that. That's poison ivy right there. And I was like, wow, you can recognize that. I know that there's a saying, which is, if you see three, stay away from me.
Yeah, it's three leaves, and they're shiny either on the top or on the bottom.
Because I see a lot of things that have three leaves.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
because
right?
Now that I've known that, and look, and I'm like, it's got three leaves.
What's the saying?
If you see three, stay away from me.
Huh. Then who's the second most famous groundhog in PA?
Oh, that's...
That's Gus.
Gus. Okay. Yeah.
I've always loved that ability. It's like the guy in Predator who's the naturalist who, you know, he cuts the vine and drinks. To just have a general knowledge, and I'm good up to like a four-leaf clover. I just don't recognize that stuff as well. My wife got a terrible run with poison ivy. She was in removing some plants when we first moved into Manayunk, and she was bedridden for a couple days because it was, I mean, she just could not move.
Yeah.
It actually looked like she had been clawed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be, some things in nature can be pretty nasty.
Really. I think I can't get it. I've never once had poison ivy, poison oak, nothing.
Some people are more allergic to it than others, Kathy. I can get it mildly. Sometimes you can get it if a dog gets it and it ends up in the dog's dander or in the dog's fur or whatever, and then you go and pet the dog. And then the worst that I've heard about poison ivy is that when sometimes if somebody burns it, if they're really allergic to it,
then
it ends up in their lungs, you know?
Kathy, do you, as an allergy test, when you get back in the studio, you want us to get a little poison ivy and just rub it on a little part of your skin so you can get a rash? Like, it only affects the area that it touches.
Listen, I don't think I can get it, but I'm not positive. I don't want to try. Mm. I've never had it in my life. I don't want to have it now.
They say that people who are resistant to poison ivy cannot be pierced by an arrow. Can we try that when you get back? Yeah.
I had, I was cleaning a whole bunch of, like, underbrush and stuff like that from underneath this arborvitae and pines and stuff, and I got worried that because... Once I cleared a lot of things out, I went over that with my lawnmower, and then I was concerned that I would be breathing in poison ivy.
Wear your freaking mask.
Juice.
Juice.
I know people.
Something,
I see a lot of people just prior to pandemic palooza. Prior to that, I'd see a lot of people when they do yard work, especially people who suffer from allergies and stuff like that. When they're mowing the lawn, they pop on the mask.
I brushed, when I was a kid, I brushed up against some kind of plant that had... It didn't have thorns per se, but it had a very prickly stem on it that they weren't crazy sharp, but enough to kind of, I felt it, an abrasion on my hand. And it later, it blistered up. I mean, like full on, clear liquid filled blisters on my skin. And I never did find out what that was. And I don't think it was poison ivy.
I told you.
There's some wild stuff out there.
An incident that I had years ago when I first started hiking the Wissahickon. And the dog went into this sort of fairly thick bramble, and I reached in, and I did have gloves on, but it was on the above the glove line on my arm, and there were the very small sort of thorns, and when I pulled my arm out, I was like, and I brushed it off, and within seconds, it felt like my arm was on fire.
You talked about that.
It was like some kind of bramble or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the other saying about poison ivy pressing is leaves of three, let it be. Leaves of four, eat some more. I don't know what you're supposed to eat, but that's the second half of that.
Leaves of four, your mom's a whore.
I knew there was comedy.
You filthy whore.
Yeah. Poison oak, poison sumac,
well, that's,
and poison
that's
ivy.
Unpleasant. Yeah.
All right, so poison oak, poison sumac, and poison ivy all have three. Well, no, poison sumac doesn't. It looks like it's got a whole bunch on there.
It's got multiples, but it's at three at the top. And then the poison oak looks like oak leaves, and the poison ivy are triangular, I guess, in nature.
You didn't mean the last part. Forget what I said. You're probably dead.
Okay. All right. I need to learn to recognize that stuff. Now we're getting... Anytime you mention poison ivy, the calls start coming in. Do you guys, you want me to go to a couple of these?
Let's do it.
All right.
It's a public service because people are just chomping at the bit to get out, and they're going to run into this stuff.
Yeah, because everything's in. Right now, everything is lush. I mean, like.
Drunk.
All through our neighborhood, everybody's yards are just absolutely booming. They look beautiful. I'm going to go to Dan. Hi, Dan. Good morning.
Hey, Preston. How you doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
I got a big family. I'm one of nine, and my one brother is really, really allergic to poison ivy. The point where he gets it, you think like he got beat up by five guys.
Really? You mean the hamburger chain?
Excuse me.
Keep going.
Five guys, yeah, burgers five and fries.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, you had a specific story to share.
No, yeah. He was in the woods one time, using the bathroom, not number one. And happened to...
So that would be number two, box. Then. Okay.
That would be number two, yeah.
Okay.
And there was a bathroom in the middle of the woods?
Jeez.
Yeah. Dan. It's how we roll, Dan, but we do want to hear your story. Go ahead, yeah. Never give up the fight.
He wiped his butt with poison ivy.
There you go.
There it is.
He actually wiped with poison ivy?
Oh, it was horrible. He was in my parents' room for about a week with six fans pointing at him. Like, he had no shame, butt naked. My mom had to, like, rub, like, lotion on him.
Dan, do you remember what they were using? Because they're all different treatments, and the treatment that worked with my wife finally was, like, an oatmeal soap.
Oh, I don't know. He got steroids a few times for it. Like, all right. He got in the bed more than a couple times.
Dan, any idea how old he was at the time?
I think he was about... He might have been freshman year in high school.
Oh, freshman geez. Year in high school, and mom was having to come in and tend
dude,
to his...
It was brutal. It was brutal.
That's wow. Brutal.
That's when they fell in love.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it, buddy.
My brother got poison ivy really, really bad, and it just so happened that towards the beginning of it, we went down the shore. And the ocean, the salt water, actually was really great
for it. It helps.
I've heard that many times. Yeah.
Here's an
and
app
then you can get sea lice
that you can use, Preston.
Oh, I have it.
You have it. Okay.
It's Leaf Snap. I have it. I'm like, this will be a great idea. I'll be able to identify all the plants and trees I've been curious about. I used it one time. I've had it on my phone, Nick. I kid you not, for at least 4 years.
All right.
Leaf Snap. It'll save me.
I wonder if it's
what is this app?
I may have finally deleted it. I'm not sure, but I had it, and it is you pick up a photo, a leaf, take a picture of it, tells you exactly.
You swipe
what
left
it is.
Or right whether you want to date it.
In fact, you know what? I used it in Sweden
because
we went by this group of trees that smelled so wonderful, and we had no idea that the Rochelle's family, who's from Sweden, had no idea what tree it was. And sure enough, I grabbed it, took a picture of it, bang, figured out what it was. And never used it. Forgot the name
Are
of
you
the tree.
Like, yeah.
Couldn't point it out again if I saw it.
You're spending $9.95 a month on it, right?
You guys remember monkey balls?
Yes.
Yes, Osage oranges.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
What? Yeah, they would. They fall from the tree in this area. They are. I guess.
What's the point of them?
They're the fruit of that
tree.
That's
how you make little monkeys.
They smell disgusting. They would show up at some point in the school year because we would roll them under cars while waiting at the school bus. I don't remember. Was it beginning of the school year or the end of the school year? But it's the fruit of the Osage tree.
Okay. I would imagine it's so the tree procreates.
Yeah. That's why I wasn't sure of whether or not it was a...
would create an actual monkey?
All right, so hang on a second. We have a picture here in the studio. Is that what you say a monkey ball is?
Yes.
Okay. The big green thing?
Uh-huh. All right.
Are you thinking of something different?
All right, so
it's about like this case, right? Like, I'm doing a hand gesture to case, but it's...
If you look...
Oh, that much bigger?
Yeah,
oh,
like a softball.
I didn't know.
Yeah, mine are smaller, and it's more prickly.
Your monkey balls are smaller.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay, so when they dry
right
out,
there, yeah.
Yeah, these. Okay, they're brown.
Sweet gumballs?
Sweet gum.
Sweet gumballs.
So I would imagine it's from, like, you've heard of sorghum trees and stuff like that. My dad knows all this
or just
stuff.
Just a gum tree.
Like beechwood trees and things like that. Beechwood, you could actually take part of the inside of the bark. It was soft and you could eat it. I mean, as
you remember, Yul Gibbons. Years ago, there was a naturalist named Yul Gibbons and his whole deal. And now it's... This is the sort of things that survivalists and all that stuff and Bear Grylls engage in. But he was the kind of guy, and his whole thing was what you can eat in the forest and all. And, you know, you ever eat a pine cone?
Right.
But that knowledge is kind of cool. I just don't want to learn.
It was always a big deal to us if we would find a buckeye. You guys ever seen buckeyes?
Not familiar, no.
Yeah, those are cool.
What are they?
It's a brown nut-like growth. And it's got a black area on it, and it doesn't look like an eyeball, but see if you can pull up a picture of a buckeye. They're pretty cool, and we would collect them.
Oh, that's a buckeye?
Yeah.
You wouldn't eat them,
though,
right?
Those are buckeye candy. I mean,
that's a cookie.
Yeah,
this is an actual buckeye right
here. Yeah, that's a buckeye.
These are cookies that grow in the woods?
No. But they were kind of a good luck charm. Yeah, oh. If you can find Buckeyes.
You can roast them like you can roast a chestnut.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to get people who know them who say nasty things about them.
Right. There you go, Steve. Yep. Those are Buckeyes.
I've seen those, yeah.
Yeah, those are cool.
My neighbor had two giant trees in their front yard, and I don't know what kind of tree it is, but it had these things that we used to call Johnny Smokers, and you could basically cut them in half and smoke them like a cigar. And it was just the leaves, right? So if these things fell off the tree before they bloomed into leaves, and the leaves were gigantic.
What were they called again?
Johnny Smokers.
Johnny Smokers. Hmm.
That's what we call them.
Johnny Smokers.
Yeah.
And was it? Would you inhale? You'd smoke it like a cigar?
I smoked it like a cigar. Now, listen, I was also... Here's the weird thing. Okay. I was young. I was probably in 7th or 8th grade when I smoked them. And my dad was aware of it.
Okay.
And
he was cool with it?
Well, yeah, because he was like, oh, yeah.
It's just a Johnny Smoker.
It's just a Johnny Smoker. Like, he, you know, he had done the same thing when he was a kid. He was like, yeah, Johnny Smokers.
The name is Johnny Smokers. My brother Harry Knuckles had invited me to PA to eat a Buckeye.
But these things would come off the tree, and they were long cylinders, and you would cut them in half, and then you could light it up and smoke it.
Casey, I typed in Johnny Smoker.
Okay.
And I pulled up images, and every single photo is a picture of Johnny Depp smoking.
Stop it, really?
I kid you not. Look at this.
You're right, yeah.
These are all pictures of Johnny Depp smoking.
That's too funny.
All right, so we found southern cigar tree seeds. Is that it, Casey?
Yeah, that's exactly what
Johnny
it is.
Smoker.
I've never heard of this.
Okay.
Those things would be long. They were like 12 to 14 inches long, and then you would cut it in half.
Did you ever smoke a squirrel? You popped the head off.
Okay. Oh, what was that? Rabbit tobacco.
What is that?
When I lived in the South, and I would know what it looked like, and it was a plant that grew. And supposedly you could smoke it. And as kids, we were, you know.
For a high?
Not really. It was kind of like fake tobacco, rabbit tobacco. And, God, I vaguely remember this, but I think we'd put that in a pipe and smoke it. Now I got to look that up. Yeah, Nick found it here. Yeah, rabbit tobacco, sure.
And you smoked it?
Yeah, I mean, not inhaling.
Yeah.
You know.
Sweet, everlasting, when crushed, the plant exudes a characteristic maple syrup scent.
Yeah. It was just another one of those things like, we should eat that. We should rub that on our butt.
Here's a pile of the stuff we're going to eat, and here's a pile of the stuff we're going to smoke.
Yeah. Common names include Old Field Balsam, Rabbit Tobacco, and Sweet Everlasting. When crushed, it has the characteristics of maple syrup scent. Interesting. Huh. Going back to the poison ivy for just a moment, I'm going to go to Joe. Hi, Joe. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
So when I was 7 years old, you know, when you start to get sick, but I was out and I found out we had chicken pox, but I got poison ivy on my leg, on top of the chicken pox.
Whoa.
It ended up making me insanely sick. I had 104 fever.
Wow.
I actually, my leg swelled up so bad, like it was three times the size, and they couldn't get it to go down. So they had to have surgery, or I had surgery. They cut two holes in my leg to drain the infection.
Oh. Whoa, dude.
Well,
yeah,
that's
and then now, because chicken pox are itchy as it is, I actually have scars all over my legs and body from went from scratching so much because it was so itchy.
That was quite common. That used to be the warning when you got chicken pox to not scratch because you could leave permanent scarring.
Yeah, but it was so bad. I'm 7 years old, and I was in the hospital for 3 weeks, and the infection was so bad it like ate away at the muscle in my leg. So I had to do rehabilitation for like almost a year.
That's unbelievable. And it definitely had to do with the combination of both chicken pox and poison ivy.
Yeah, it's just because, and it was just my left leg because that's the leg that I got the poison ivy on. Okay. But I mean, it made for the rest of my body. It made me even sicker.
Yeah.
And they were. It was scary.
Yeah, when infection settles in, it can wreak havoc on your entire body.
Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible. Wow. They should have put you on Johnny Smokers.
Yeah. All right, thanks. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. I have no idea.
Whenever it comes to long-term infection, line up a Johnny Smoker. Available wherever there's nature.
Peter. Available wherever there's nature. Peter is a horticulturalist and can answer any questions we have. Hey, Pete, how you doing?
Well, first of all, I don't have the internet in front of me like Nick does, so...
So you just know stuff.
You just know stuff.
Doing the best I can, but man, I'm about to drive off the road listening to you. Holy
All right, well, what's driven you crazy? Go ahead.
All right, you said a while ago you rubbed up against something that wasn't poison ivy, but it probably itched or burned or something like that. That was probably something called stinging nettles.
Okay.
And I have a funny story. When I was a kid, we were playing down along the Delaware River, and it looks like mint. And so I thought it was mint. I took a bite of it to chew it, and it got all in the roof of my mouth.
So as a horticulturist, in this case, with the people's inclination, and they have sort of a half-baked knowledge of stuff outside, is it wise to ever just stick something in your mouth that you don't know for certain what it is? It seems very risky.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, the honeysuckle thing is one thing, you know, but if you don't know, let it go. You know, it's just like anything. If you don't know,
let it go. Right? I like that. Use that phrase. If you don't know, let it go.
That's a good idea.
But still, but you know, the poison ivy thing, some people are very allergic. It's an allergy. It's just an allergy.
Well, what do you think it was that I got on my arm that started instantly burning?
I thought it was the stinging nettles.
Okay, all right.
All right, well, what about Johnny Smokers? What's your opinion on that, Peter? What made you want to drive off the road?
Well, it was prior to that I called, but as a matter of fact, I know that plant, but I was never aware of anybody taking him off a tree and smoking them.
Well, we never took it off the tree. They just fell off the tree.
So there you go.
There you go.
Seems like the horticulturist isn't so smart after all.
They were entirely too high off the ground to take off the tree.
No.
We used to smoke cattails as kids pretending they were cigars.
Cigars, all right. Mm-hmm. Did you actually light them?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, if you're walking around, if you're seeing like what grows naturally in this area that you could eat, you know, off besides the obvious, an apple tree or something like that. What is edible that comes to mind that is a real find if you know what you're doing?
Certainly, just in your front yard, you could eat dandelion leaves, no doubt about it.
Huh?
I'm not gonna
dandelion leaves.
Yeah,
you can put them in a salad.
Can you eat your mailbox?
Yeah. How about like a nasturtium? You can eat a nasturtium, right?
Say it again?
Nasturtium, the flower?
Yeah, absolutely. Nasturtium is a... yes, you can. That's the common name off the top of my head.
So skip your lunch and just head into the flower garden today.
Yeah. Go outside.
What's the old horticulture joke?
You can eat a horticulture, but you can't make her think.
That's what it is.
A pansy is the nasturtium.
About pansies.
Yeah, pansies. Sure. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Peter.
Well, whatever. And listen, be safe. Just be smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
He just whatevered you, man.
What'd you whatever for me for, Peter?
If you don't know, let it go.
And he just hung up.
Oh. Okay. That was like
we pissed off the horticulturist.
He said he was going to drive off the road. I thought he was going to name a whole bunch of things that we got wrong, and he just was...
The stuff you're saying is killing people.
The fact that I didn't know of the spiky nettles thing. Set him off, and
he sold more records than Slim Whitten. Spiky nettles. Hi, folks. I've been playing bluegrass for 35 years.
I don't even think it was that. I didn't even think it said the proper name. It was something other nettles.
I don't even think it said the proper name.
That's right.
Stinging nettles.
Stinging nettles. Yeah. Spiky stinging
me
nettles.
And my brother Stingy Nettles. What's our names again? I don't even know.
Stinging nettles.
Whatever.
Yeah. All Greg right. Nettles just played for the Padres.
Here, Casey needs some company. I'm going to go to Mike, who used to smoke Johnny Smokers. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
All right, how you doing?
Good, what's up, bud?
Okay, now these things used to look like giant string beans. They used to fall off, and they dry up, and you smoke it, you get a head rush, right?
Oh, boy.
Wow, you were inhaling it. I was not inhaling it.
There's this stuff called brown tar heroin.
You inhale a cigar, I guess, but, you know, you don't on it. We were kids. And the thing with poison ivy, you look for the redness around it, and it's got, like, hairs. That's what gets into your pores initially.
I think he's right. Is there a redness associated with a fully infectious or fully robust poison ivy leaf?
Yeah, you're going to look at the leaf, but I mean, you know, I'm doing the backyard, I'm doing this, and all of a sudden, I swell up with that. I have an allergy to it. I swell up, like, you know, pus and everything.
Whoa. Wait, you throw up pus?
No, no, he swell up.
Oh, swell up. I thought you said swell up.
Yeah, I draw a pie, sit down, crap, and flowers, and some eggnog comes out of my penis. I don't know what it is.
It's the deal. I mean, honestly, if you have a severe allergy to that, but the whole thing is the hairs are what gets in your pores.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So you have to be, you got to be extra.
You start crapping applesauce.
So you got to be extra.
No,
all right, thanks, Mike.
I really love you guys.
All right, thanks,
love
man.
You, Mike.
Appreciate it, man. All right.
That is strange.
Going. I'm going to go to Stephanie, a certified Pennsylvania master naturalist.
Ooh, all right. She's certified.
Who can answer any questions. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty good. How about you?
Good, good. I'm just listening to your conversation, and there's this great program that's offered in our area that anyone can sign up for.
Okay.
And learn whatever you want to know about our local environment.
I think if someone was there able to take you through, I think you can look on a screen and you can look on an app, but it can't surpass the ability to be out in nature and find it and identify it out where it is, because it's just not the same. So this is what you do when this course is taught?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like a semester long course almost, and it's offered in Philadelphia County and Chester County. I don't think it's offered in Berks County or anything like that. But yeah, it's offered, and each week you go in, and a expert in their field, in botany or in mammals or in geology, comes in and actually teaches you skills to learn different things about the environment.
Is this the Stephanie that works at John Hines?
I believe it's offered through them. So different ecological organizations will offer it through their specific organization.
But that's not where you work. I was asking if you work there. Okay, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't work there. But I do work for an environmental nonprofit.
All right.
So
do you know all the things that you can eat in nature then?
Yes, I would say I do.
Can you eat a matter baby?
I would say, like, if I would go into a normal, like, Pennsylvania forest, I could probably identify 70% of the species there.
All right. So I heard this one phrase. I mean, we had, the one guy say, if you don't know, let it go.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, I think it was. And anyway, but I had heard red and sweet, good to eat. Meaning, if you see a red berry, you can eat it. That's
no,
not true.
No. No, because it could be like winter. We have like something called winterberry here, and that is poisonous. Or we have wineberries here, and you can eat like all of those. They look like raspberries, but they're actually invasive.
Oh, okay.
How about purchased in a store safe to eat?
I'm sorry?
Purchased in a store safe to eat.
Steve doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Do we have wild blackberries to grow in the area?
Wild? No, technically blackberries are like native to like New Jersey, but not really here. But people do plant them and they do thrive.
What's the thing that because I know there's a particular berry that does look like a fruit that kids will eat every year. It's always an issue, and it causes it's like a poisonous berry, and you're always admonished to not to keep kids away from it.
It might be hogweed.
Okay,
it's like that purple. It's very purple. Berry. It's like a chain of purple berries.
I think that's it, because it almost looks like a blueberry, right?
Yeah. That's extremely poisonous.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I also want to do, we have poison hemlock. I don't know if you guys see it. Like, they're always on the side of hallways. They're big stalks that are bright white. They almost look like Queen's Anne lace, and the leaves look like carrot leaves. They're actually part of the carrot family, and they're a neurotoxin. If you touch them, they will put you into seizures, and they grow everywhere.
What? And they're here?
Everywhere. They're here everywhere.
Kathy, do not go outside.
Seriously? Yeah, don't go
outside. Wait a minute.
Are you kidding me?
Stephanie, name that again, please.
It's called poison hemlock.
Poison hemlock. I'm going to look that up, okay. See what that looks like.
And use on your enemy.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
Here, try these lovely carrots I got.
Here, I got you something. I left it in a basket on your front lawn. Eat up.
Wow. Okay.
This doesn't even look that bad.
Yeah. No, it looks very innocuous.
Yeah, you know what? This stuff is all over the place. I always thought it looked similar to baby's breath.
It does.
I thought, and in fact, I was pointing that out to my wife. I'm like, these look a lot like baby's breath. And so if you even touch that, you have an issue?
If you touch it, it can sting. But if you somehow ingest it, it's a neurotoxin, and it can cause seizures.
Okay.
That's why you shouldn't eat anything, ever.
Wow. That was used in a movie, was it not, hemlock?
Yeah, it's throughout history it's been used as a poison.
No, you're thinking of Nightlock. Nightlock was in the Hunger Games series. It's what the berries
ate. Yes, that's what it was. Yep. That's what it was.
Wow, interesting stuff. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for enlightening us. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate the knowledge.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What was that?
Oh, I was just saying thank you.
And thank you to you. All right, we'll talk to you soon. That's pretty wild. And by the way, concerning the caller before,
yes.
I love this comment. It says, James Gandolfini isn't dead. He's living in Delco. Oh, my God. All right, so poison hemlock. I got to keep an eye out for that.
You ever read The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon by Stephen King?
No, I'm familiar. I've heard of it. But
she gets lost in the woods, right? And Tom Gordon was a pitcher in the 90s and early 2000s. He was a reliever for the Red Sox, and that's why Stephen King liked him so much. And so it's a story about baseball and this girl who gets lost in the woods, and then this monster shows up, right? But he talks a lot about in the book plants that she eats to survive, and at some point she starts getting confused. And if you ever read Into the Wild, part of why Christopher McCandless died was that he picked the wrong thing to eat it at a certain point, you know, and it looked just like something that was edible, but he chose something that was not edible.
Yeah, in the book, it's describing, and it had like a colored stripe on the seat or whatever, and he had misunderstood.
Huh.
It was a different color combination or something like
that. Yeah, it was like a vertical stripe that was edible and a horizontal stripe that was not, or vice versa.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
You know, the only sayings I remember on this show are the ones that actually don't really matter. Like raccoon at night, everything's all right. Raccoon during the day, run away.
That's still good.
It's valid.
We talked about that snake, right, where it's like red touches yellow.
Yes.
Let it mellow.
He's a good fellow.
Black. Yeah. Step back, Jack.
Heart attack.
I don't remember. I don't remember which is bad and which is good.
That's the coral snake.
Uh-huh.
And Casey, I don't remember it either.
Yeah.
Because it looks very, very similar.
Coral snake, eat a cake.
I think it looks very similar to, it might be a milk snake. I'm not 100% sure, but one is venomous and one is not.
Right.
And they look almost identical. Bottom line is you should stay away from any snake that looks striped like that. And that color, they're very beautiful. Both of the snakes are. They have gorgeous
colors. Don't suck any snakes.
Yeah, coral snake and what is the other one?
The red touch. Red touch black. Friend of Jack.
I don't know.
Red touches yellow, kills a fellow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's the coral snake. That's venomous.
Coral snake, beat with a snake.
See? This is why we have problems.
Use a rake, eat a snake.
But I don't know what the other one that it's confused with.
A scarlet snake. A
scarlet snake.
Which is harmless.
Okay, all right.
Coral snake, your mom's a whore.
That doesn't rhyme.
That's not even advice that I can use.
We have to move along.
I found a snake in my yard the other day. Take a break.
Yeah,
it was dead. It was kind of a baby one, which was kind of interesting because I picked it up. I guess it had been dead too long because it wasn't stiff or anything like that. And I thought this was a good opportunity to take a good close look at the snake. Without, having to worry about it.
So Rager hadn't said it.
So it was still around. But they're, I guess they're, you'll find them a little more common right now as it's warmer and they're a little bit more active. All right, well, anyhow, that was, I only noticed one thing today. That was it.
And it was a good thing to notice.
That honeysuckles are out and they're in full bloom and they smell wonderful. But be careful when you do that because when you do the tasting of the suckle, if you're suckling on your honey, that it could have touched poison ivy, which led down that conversation. So, all right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment and Bizarre File stories are on the way next.
It's a tumultuous time, yet essential employees go to work day and night to make our lives better, including the healthcare pros, delivery and SEPTA drivers, grocery, pharmacy, sanitation, and janitorial workers. And we thank our police, EMTs, and firefighters. WMMR is here for you, too. Friendly, familiar voices playing everything that rocks, live local hosts around the clock. So whenever you need a break from cable news, for taking a walk, or just getting outside, or just to keep your workday moving, we are here for you on your radio, smart speaker, and the MMR app. Where you won't find us is on your credit card bill. We're in this together, and we wouldn't have it any other way. 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Let's delve into the world of the bizarre, please.
Now, WMMR presents
presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right. These stories right here are brought to you by Hers, the official chip of taking your summer to the next level. When it comes to snacking this summer, keep it Philly, Philly, and make it Hers. Hers forever good. A man seen on video charging protesters in New York while wearing a glove with four long serrated edged blades surrendered to authorities on Thursday night. People were peacefully gathering on the overpass above the Cross Island Parkway when Frank Cavalluzzi jumped out of a vehicle shouting, "I will kill you," and chasing protesters while wearing this bizarre looking knife claw glove thing.
It kind of looked like a Klingon weapon.
Yes, exactly. He then got back into his vehicle and drove on a sidewalk, nearly running over the demonstrators. Demonstrators had been in the area, hanging up Black Lives Matter signs and rallying after someone earlier this week was caught on camera ripping one down at the location. Cavalluzzi turned himself in. He was arraigned on charges of second-degree attempted murder, multiple degrees of attempted assault, reckless endangerment, and other offenses. And the judge set the bail at $100,000. But it was this weird-looking medieval.
Yeah, I never saw anything like it.
Yeah.
See, I'm picturing like Freddy Krueger in my mind.
Yeah, it wasn't on the fingers. It was
More than that.
See a picture over there. Yeah, exactly. It turns out there is such a thing as too much pizza. A Belgian man says that he has been receiving mysterious pizzas that he never ordered for over a decade.
What am I talking about?
Of course.
I am talking about the need to eat pizza.
While it may initially seem like an annoying prank, the victim says he's received so many pizzas over the years that he shakes every time he hears a scooter coming down the street.
Oh, no.
Jean Van Lendingham says delivery drivers bring pizza to his door at all hours in the day through the day and night. This has reportedly been going on for almost a decade, and Lanningham says that he has no idea why. Initially, he reportedly believed that there was some sort of a mistake with his address and the correct delivery address. Unfortunately, the food kept arriving, sometimes even multiple times in the same day.
Has he ever tried to just collect it up and get and have some service come by, collect it, and give it to the homeless?
I don't know what the story. I don't know if it's paid for or what.
Okay.
While he mostly receives pizzas, other fast food items have also been included in the order. One day, Lanningham reportedly had 10 different delivery drivers come to his place on the same day.
Wow.
One of the deliveries was for 14 pizzas as well.
So that's the big question, if it's prepaid or if it's not. And if they're expecting payment on delivery, that's a nightmare.
He said, "I can't sleep anymore. I start shaking every time I hear a scooter on the street. I dread that someone will come to drop off hot pizzas yet another time." Adding another odd layer to the mystery is the fact that one of his friends who lives 20 miles away has reportedly also been suffering from similar mystery deliveries.
So they have a connection, and they're both being bombarded with pizzas. They can't get to the bottom of this?
This has led authorities to believe that the culprit must be someone who the two men both know. Unfortunately, for now, the cause remains a mystery. You'd think it would be pretty easy for people to figure out where for the company, the people delivering the pizzas.
Right, where it's coming from.
Yeah, or to decide, look, we're not going to deliver pizzas.
We're not going to deliver there.
Yeah.
It must be incredibly stupid.
It continues. A man was arrested after he was accused of stealing a bulldozer from a construction site. The driver, a 39-year-old man, called the Cass County 911 Center himself just after 5:30 a.m. Friday and said that he had stolen a bulldozer and was en route to Omaha to protest and deliver a message to the world about corruption and false information that he said the news media and the government are communicating. The man warned everyone to stay out of his way, as according to the sheriff's office. They were contacted, and they were told a bulldozer was driving in the grass shoulder off of northbound U.S. Highway 775. Deputies tried to make contact with the man, but they weren't successful. The man had fortified the inside of the bulldozer to protect himself and complicate efforts to get into the cab.
They say at times it reached a speed of over 9 miles an hour.
Authorities diverted the bulldozer onto a county roadway and reached the man on his cell phone, where they convinced him to stop and get out of the bulldozer, which had been stolen from a construction project. The man was arrested in a soybean field. Remember that story way back when in Colorado?
The dude super enhanced, what was it? Was it a bulldozer
as
well?
It was a bulldozer. Well?
Yeah, and they didn't know how to get him the F out of there.
He started wrecking the town
it. Yeah,
he had like a land dispute with a company that was nearby or something. And
so he made like a super tank.
And I think, Steve, he may have suffocated inside of it because
it ended?
Was airtight. He had oxygen in there and everything, but it's on Wikipedia. It's a crazy story of somebody who was... They felt that they were in the wrong, and they decided to do something about it, and he destroyed half of this town.
May I suggest, before you go off on one of these rampages, pay a visit to Digger World.
Yeah. There you can play with all that stuff and not harm anyone.
Right.
All right, and then we'll do one more story and wrap it up. Let's go with this. We can't end with that one. That's a nasty one. How about this one? A drunken man was arrested earlier this week after police say... He broke into a zoo. This is in Massachusetts. He broke into a zoo to, quote, look at the monkeys that lived on an island exhibit.
They're awful cute.
Joseph Villa was arrested Tuesday as he walked along a city street after officers found his wallet at the Capron Park Zoo and reviewed surveillance video from the night before.
Hey, monkeys.
The break-in was said to be discovered by zoo workers arriving for work on Tuesday morning.
Hey, it's the monkeys.
Villa admitted to drinking and breaking into the zoo on Monday. He told the officers that when he was asked what he wanted to accomplish, he said, quote, I was drunk and wanted to go look at the monkeys.
And I wanted to become a commercial pilot.
Here we come.
But the interesting part about this is that the zoo doesn't actually have a home to monkeys.
Wow, so it was all in his mind.
But they have black and white ruffled lemurs that do live on an island that sits in the middle of a pond.
Well, that'll do.
And lemurs are prosimians, by the way. They're almost monkeys. They're pretty close, according to the zoo's website.
Well, it worked for him, right?
But at one point during the break-in, Villa boarded a small boat, started to paddle out to the island.
I'm coming! I'm going to be king of Monkey Island!
But he started to... apparently, he jumped out of the boat because he got stuck, and then he had to swim to shore.
What a damn boat.
Where he allegedly dumped his wet clothes... And no animals were harmed. And,
I don't want the monkeys to see me naked.
And no damage was reported. So he tried.
The things that alcohol will make you do.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Things alcohol has made me do. Pretty amazing. All right. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you right now. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have the lesson question and trash and music news. Don't forget also that we do have... The next coolest teacher up for the running. Glassboro High School, Glassboro, New Jersey. Text the word teacher to 39333, and we'll send you the voting link. So let us know who you think should win. We'll be back in a moment.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh-cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Welcome back to the work week. Hopefully you're just getting your day started right now at 10:19 a.m. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just rolling out of bed right now. I'm sure my son is still in a deep, deep, deep sleep as we speak.
Yeah, we all go through that phase.
Crack of noon, if we're lucky. Some of us have to go to work, and that's what we do, and we are happy that you are on board with us this morning. We have a few things still to get to. One of them being the lesson question. I got to pull this up here in just a second. And our prize this week is a $50 Carrabba's Italian gift dining card. That's a solid one. All right, so the question that we're going to go with. Hang on a second. We have a bunch of them from today. I think I know the one that I want to ask. Yeah, what are the names of Tony Bennett's two balls? 215-263-WMMR. I think that's definitely worth asking, what are the names of Tony Bennett's two balls? 215-263-WMMR. If you were listening earlier, you probably heard, and you should know the answer and call us right now. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by A.D. Moyer Lumber. All locations remain open to provide your building material and hardware needs and are focused on customer and staff safety. Call or email ahead for curbside pickup or delivery. You can find them at admoyer.com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Blac Chyna claiming racism was the reason for the Kardashians pulling the plug on her reality show Rob and Chyna, and not the fact that she and Rob had split up. Blac Chyna is also claiming that racism is behind her never winning a Nobel Peace Prize.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Fast and Furious star Jordana Brewster and her husband Andrew Form are getting a divorce. Ironically, Form says Brewster was too fast, while Brewster says Form has a small penis.
Hey!
Mama June Channon startled everyone when she revealed that she has a new job delivering lost airline luggage to people's homes. Channon says she can carry more luggage than anyone else because she hooks a third bag over her tooth. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we shall see if somebody knows the answer to this question. What are the names of Tony Bennett's two balls? 215-263 WMMR, and I will go to Kevin for the answer. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Kevin, name Tony Bennett's balls.
Pete and Louie.
Pete and Louie. You are correct, sir. Hang on just a second, Kevin. We're going to get your information, set you up with a $50 Carrabba's Italian Grill dining card. Carrabba's Italian Grill is open and serving the community with your favorite made-from-scratch Italian dishes through car-side, carry-out, delivery, and catering. Order online today at Carrabba's.com. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Really smacked my lips before I did that, didn't
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
Music news. Don't know why, but it just happened. All right. Let me see here. Where are you? Oh, there you go. First story. Let's begin with this. Pearl Jam released the uncensored version of its classic video for Jeremy on Friday. The band shared the clip to mark National Wear Orange Day, also known as National Gun Violence Awareness Day. The uncut video, originally released in 1992, was previously unavailable in the U.S. after MTV declined to air it. The network objected primarily to a shot of the title character standing at the front of his classroom and putting a gun into his mouth. The official U.S. version excised this shot. You guys ever seen it?
I have.
I've never seen this.
It's interesting because in 1992, it probably would have been very shocking. But
right.
It's a bit mild by today's standards.
Okay. So the official version of the clip ended up winning four MTV Video Music Awards in 1993, including Best Video of the Year, Best Group Video, Best Metal/Hard Rock Video, and Best Direction.
Whatever happened to the kid who played Jeremy?
In the video?
Yeah.
Don't know. It's a good question. In conjunction with the release of the uncensored clip, the band has also shared a revised version of its 1992 Choices T-shirt that originally read 9 out of 10 kids prefer crayons to guns on the back. The shirt now reads 10 out of 10 kids prefer crayons to guns. Earlier this year, of course, Pearl Jam released its latest studio LP, Gigaton, and they had to postpone their tour.
That will never not amuse me.
Red Hot Chili Peppers guitarist. I'm sorry.
You saw his face.
Yeah, Nick has the video playing, and it went by Eddie's face when he's making
the face.
Kathy the face that you and Casey the facey. He makes that quite a bit in that video.
Can you give me one, Casey?
The best is, I guess it was I Love the 90s when they hit on this. And then I guess it was Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Yeah.
Because they had all the talking heads right, commenting on it. And they talk about the face. You know what? I got to see if I can find that on YouTube or something because it is hilarious.
Your impression of the face is pretty much their impression.
Yes.
Your impression of them doing Eddie Vedder, right?
I think the gist of it was, I think it was Trey doing it, and he was saying that, and Eddie was a bit of a heartthrob. Can you imagine him, hey, want to go out for a drink sometime?
Yeah.
Making that face. Can I buy a drink? Can you do that for me?
Hey, can I buy a drink sometime?
It's an ugly,
ugly.
It's a psychotic.
It's an ugly face. So, all right. Well, anyway,
Red Hot Chili Peppers guitarist John Frusciante has released a new song, new six-song LP under the name Trick Finger, and it's titled She Smiles Because She Presses the Button. And the disc comes less than 2 months after his last solo album outing called Look Down, See Us. The ambient electronic style is a far cry from the music that he has made with the Chili Peppers. The new album is a result of statement called years of being immersed in machines, learning tracker programs, synth and drums machines inside and out, applying the same tireless approach he's exhibited throughout his career. Frusciante has recorded nearly two dozen records on his own.
Wow.
Singing on many of them. She Smiles will be followed up with another album before year's end, which will make it the third Trick Finger LP of 2020. Now, hang on to the It Stinks sound effect for a moment.
All right.
Tommy Lee has announced a new solo album. It's called Andro. Due out on October 16th, Lee has unveiled two singles from the effort called Knock Me Down and Tops, with both clips directed by Limp Bizkit frontman Fred Durst. The first song features rapper Kelvane, while the second includes South Africa's Push Push. Other guests on the record include Buck Cherry frontman Josh Todd, rockstar supernova singer Lucas Rossi, rapper and fashion stylist Brooke Candy, and others. The press release explained that the songs on Andro represent the male and female sides of music, equally important and equally powerful. Thus, the name of the album, Andro. Androgyny is a combination of the essence of male and female genders, and the album is the manifestation of that concept. Now, I normally don't read comments because I just, okay.
All right.
There's a lot of vitriol in comments.
Absolutely. You can't rely on them.
And in the prep that I got for the music news this morning, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 comments. They're usually mixed with positive and negative. I don't have any positive ones.
Okay.
And,
stinks!
I'll read you a couple of them. Alan Brooks writes, I can't stop laughing hysterically at how essy this is, crappy this
stinks!
Is. David John wrote, I'd rather cut off my D and feed it to my dog than listen to that again.
You're better than that.
Newsoff Metro wrote, this was delightfully bad. Those videos look like SNL rap skits. I love it.
That ain't you.
Anthony Ellis wrote, what a disappointment. I'm South African. She's more embarrassing than apartheid. I guess that's one of the, the musicians on there. And then another one. Jay Richter wrote, Metallica must be relieved now that Lulu is no longer the king of musical turds anymore.
Wow.
Stinks!
So those are the reviews. Now,
I'd like to hear a little bit
of it. I haven't heard it myself,
yeah.
So I can't comment personally on it.
It's coming over.
All right, Marissa's working on sending some stuff.
Send it over!
Yeah. It looks like part of the video was filmed in Batman's basement, Steve.
In the third movie. Both the second and the third,
okay,
right?
Yeah. All right. Pretty Reckless singer Taylor Momsen said in a new interview that while not actively pursuing acting again at this point, she would never say never to restarting her previous career. Momsen began acting at the age of 3 with a part in a Shake and Bake commercial, landing her first big role as Cindy Lou Who in 2000's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. She later became famous as a bad girl named Jenny Humphrey on Gossip Girl. She ended up leaving the show for good after the fourth season, telling various media outlets that her acting career felt like, quote, a past life. Asked if she's fully committed to music and whether she still feels like acting is behind her, she said, I will never not play rock and roll music. I'm going to be playing rock and roll music till I'm dead. For a long time, I said I'd never act again, but I've gotten older now, and who knows? It's not something I'm actively pursuing in any way, but never say never, I guess.
Yeah.
Even though she's left acting behind, she said a while back that she's not embarrassed by her previous job. She said, I mean, it's part of your past, your role with it, but I barely remember it. She said, I mean, I was 3 in the commercial and 5 in The Grinch, so it's a very distant memory.
Shake and Bake was a lot of fun when it was out.
But when it's on, I'll leave it on for about 2 minutes, and then I change the channel. It's a little too trippy.
Do they still sell Shake and Bake?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do they? Okay, I didn't even know. I've not been in the Shake and Bake aisle.
Death by Rock and Roll, this 4th studio album from the Pretty Reckless, will arrive in January 2021. I was listening to some Pretty Reckless over the weekend. I like her. I like the band. I like her voice. I think she's a really good female rock singer, and we need some good, strong female rock voices, and I think she's solid. And that's it. All right. I got music news. You want to hear some of Tommy Lee?
Yeah, let's
do it. Is that here on the Vox Pro?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so here we go. This is Tops. It's called Tops, featuring Push Push. Here we go.
I don't play games, I don't win. If you played games, I see you lost heart. I don't write songs, I write sin. I don't speak, I toss sparks. So devastatingly disastrous. It's almost hard to watch you move so fast. It's hard to keep up.
Okay, besides the rapping, I don't hear any Tommy Lee in there. I don't hear any drums.
Neither do I
hear
it's synthesized stuff.
Yeah.
When your girl met me, she figured you'd leave her. It's out of your control. What happens next? What happens next is out of your control. To your left, can you hear my heart bursting up my chest? Is it just me or is there something I could grab hold of? Hold up, my soul's up for sale. I'm golden. A textbook told me that I was disgusting.
Okay.
A textbook. I'm revolting.
Okay.
Well, there you go. It's beautiful.
You want wingy?
I don't hear. He's got a very signature drum sound that he's made with Crew over the years. It's really big, huge sounding. You know, deep shelled drums. I don't hear any actual acoustic percussion in that at all. Okay. Well, there you go.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be buying that.
In another direction. Let's take a break, come back in a second, and get to our Letter Day Word of the Week prize, Pierre Robert, the update, see how he's doing, how his weekend was, what he's got planned for this beautiful day. We'll get all that when we return. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dirty Honey. Ozzy Osbourne. The Black Keys.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Here, Steve, we have an update for you on whatever happened to the guy who played Jeremy in the Jeremy video, because we were talking about that in Music News.
Right.
His name is Trevor Wilson. And he apparently died in 2016 in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
How old was he?
You know what? That I don't know.
He was young. He was only 26, 27.
So I remember.
It says 36 there, Nick.
I'm sorry.
Age 36 in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
I remember one of the most uncomfortable interviews occurring with Kurt Lauder right after the win, I guess, when they won the MTV Music Award. Mm-hmm. And they were, the band was there, and Eddie brought the actor who played Jeremy, you know, to the camera as well.
Yeah.
And it was just weird. And clearly, a veteran in the band did not want to be interviewed by Kurt Lauder. It's one of those moments you just always remember, ooh,
I didn't know that was
painful.
I did not know that guy had died.
You
had his IMDb up, Nick. Had he ever done anything else as far as acting goes?
No, I don't think so. That was it. Yeah. And there's a whole story behind it, but it's on one of those pro versions of Billboard, so you can't download the whole thing. But I'll see if I can find out some more about it, because it's fascinating.
Yeah. So for another time, maybe. All right. Anyhow, I want to thank Mark Zumoff.
Yeah.
For being on our show this morning.
Encouraging info.
The NBA season is tentatively set to start on July 31st. And it was cool to talk to him. He's such a nice guy. So we'll see if that ends up happening. And then I want to thank who is the guy with the largest mouth?
Oh, Phil. Phil, yeah.
Yeah. He had called in. He's from Boyertown. He has the largest mouth gape in the world. We had him on the show. He lives locally, and his mom is a huge fan of the Preston and Steve show, so he gave us a call. Wow. And he was hilarious.
He's a great kid.
He's
great. 16?
Yeah. So he's we're looking at video of him just opening his mouth. He lives in Boyertown. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, pretty wild, right? That would be the voice of Pierre Robert, who is now in the studio, back from a weekend. How you doing, man?
Good day.
Good day, sir.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
How do you follow that? I mean, the largest gape, there's really no entertainer in the world can follow that.
Nothing can follow that.
I think even Prince would say, no, let's wait a little bit.
Yeah.
No solos.
Yeah, right.
Nick, you're back.
Hey, man. How are you?
You look like you've been in a cave for
I had to shave at some point and get a haircut. But you know what? I'm at the point now where I don't care. So I'm just going to let it grow until I don't want to let it grow anymore. And letting the hair flow. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Is this the longest that the beard has been?
Probably, yeah.
I've never seen it this long.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's getting a little out of control, but I got the mustache trimmed yesterday to return to work. So.
if anyone amongst us could grow a ZZ Top style beard, I think it would definitely be Nick. I don't think anybody else around here could do that, too.
Yeah, it's a little weak on the chin, but I got a strong neck beard. So, you know.
Well, the jowls on the side here. It's really growing.
When I've grown a beard in the past, I had that thing, which is like a little under the lip down.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't fill in fully. And then it goes down. And mine was always like half-assed. You know, it could never. It came in okay, but it wasn't a real beard.
Nick, when you do decide to shave it, please let us do like some classic Civil War.
Oh yeah.
You know how those guys were crazy with the facial hair,
the mutton chops,
like Burnside. I think was one of the guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be awesome if we could get somebody in to reconstruct.
Yeah.
Some of those classic Civil War over the top.
My dearest wife, I've returned to broadcasting from the pandemic. Things are going well, and we have a muffler gift giveaway at the end of the week for the word of the week prize.
Yeah, I wonder if we could trim it down in such a way that, you know, we do it piece by piece.
Yeah.
So, you know, come to the mutton chops first and then the mustache or whatever.
Yeah, we would do a step-by-step approach so we could get various styles.
I'm all for it.
There are plenty of examples out there.
Okay. Yeah. We definitely have to do that. Wow. So you're back from the weekend.
I am.
And you're raring to go?
My power came on. I only had three and a half days without power.
Wow. 3.5 days.
You know, who needs food?
What'd you do with what was in the refrigerator?
I had to throw it all out.
Throw it out, yeah. Mm,
or light.
Yeah, I had just got, well, the light thing, yeah. That increased my volume of drinking. But food, I had just been to the store the night before, so it was packed. And I don't cook, so I have frozen
full
entrees.
Of bison steak and
these really healthy vegetarian entrees.
Yeah. With the excessive drinking and no light, any stories of stumbling, falling, tripping over things around the house? No.
I was crawling.
All right. Okay. Just for safety's sake.
You don't fall if you crawl.
That's right. Sage advice.
Don't fall.
If you don't know, let it go. And if you crawl, you don't fall.
You don't fall
if you crawl.
If you crawl.
Yeah. I like it.
I will choose free will.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Words to live by.
Says on my shirt. All right, we should get the letter of the day. You ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
N as in no sad bro.
I like it. And we have a $250 Meineke gift card for the location in the Mayfair section of the Northeast. And Northeast Philly, by the way. And they are offering 25% off to any customer who has had their catalytic converter stolen or cut off their vehicle. Remember we were talking about this?
Yes.
People have been stealing catalytic convertibles. Or not convertibles. Converters. They help out our local favorite, Nick's Roast Beef, during this pandemic, and they want to make sure the same offer to all Philadelphians. Meineke in Mayfair wants you to know they are here for you during this rough time and will help in any way they can. That's Meineke at 6140 Frankfort Avenue. Okay. So we're going to give that away on Friday. It's coming up on the show today, man.
Oh, I get you. I'm there. It is outside. It is as close to a perfect day as I have seen.
That's good news.
Perfect days here, we just don't get that often. It's warm. It's not cold. There's a little breeze blowing. It's 72 degrees. Mm. Not an ounce of humidity is in the air. It's brilliantly sunny. It's causing the leaves to kind of radiate, and the sun is bouncing off things really nicely. It's perfect.
It's a good attitude adjuster.
It is. And so I know you guys have a lot of meetings on Monday, but
Are you doing away with them?
I've just done away with them.
Oh. Wow.
So awesome. You can go right out and to your automobiles and expose yourself to the sun.
Put down the rumble seats?
Yeah.
After that terrible storm that came through that just wreaked havoc, I noticed about 1 to 2 days after, everything just exploded as far as blooming goes. I mean, trees... they're bigger in my area than I've ever known in years past of them just pushing it out. And really, everything is just beautiful right now.
Yeah. We've had a really actually beautiful spring, but it was cooler than I would have liked. But that's okay. On the program today, we've got workforce blocks of Lonesome George Thurgood and many, many, many words of wisdom does he have for you, Nick.
Oh, well, great.
And inspiration for you, Steve.
Absolutely. I draw a lot of inspiration from George Thurgood.
And Foo Fighters and Grateful Dead and other good things.
Excellent. All right. I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Duncan, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also, Auto Lenders, a smarter way to buy a car, and Meineke doing car care right. We'll get together again. We'll do it again tomorrow, man. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you then again. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Every time somebody posts a picture of their lunch, I end up with a notification, and somebody makes it stop.
Next message.
I just realized that Casey sneaks fish songs in to a bunch of stuff all the time. I think it's the traffic or the weather. The brown, 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 brown. I love it. Love it.
Next message.
You made banana bread. Now I gotta get a notification. Get the out.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.